Good Thursday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Another beautiful morning, another nice night. Northern Lights were out again last night. I went to bed. I saw them the night before. They were absolutely gorgeous. I saw people sharing pictures in social media groups. Didn't look quite as beautiful as the night before. Maybe not as much pink out there, but nonetheless, still a very nice sight to see. So 2 days in a row. I haven't heard anything about them if they're going to be back tonight, but we'll ask Dino when he gets in this morning. Nice weather continuing. Right now it is partly cloudy. We have 26 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the south, southeast, 5 miles an hour. We are looking for a high of 55 today, 63 our high temp tomorrow. The Fargo School Board has narrowed the list of names to 5 finalists for the school that will replace the current Horace Mann Elementary. Prairie Rose, Horace Mann, North Star, Martin Luther King Jr., and Unity Elementary will all be considered. Among the 29 finalists, Horace Mann Elementary received the highest number of community submissions. The Fargo School Board will make their final choice from the 5 remaining names at their November 25th meeting. Meanwhile, big changes could be coming for North Fargo Elementary Schools. School boundaries may soon be withdrawn. It comes as enrollment projections show a decline in students over the next 5 years. If approved, new boundaries would be put in place in August. Fargo police are still looking for help with a shooting investigation. It happened in the 900 block of 6th Avenue North just after midnight August 9th. A man was seriously hurt in the shooting. Police say a witness saw the victim arguing with the suspected gunman before the shooting. The suspect is described as a white man in his late teens to early 20s with fuzzy blonde hair, some facial hair. He was wearing a red sweatshirt and blue jeans. He ran away before officers arrived. Anyone with information on the shooting is asked to call police. The North Dakota Farmers Union has donated $500,000 to Great Plains Food Bank, which sends food throughout North Dakota and Clay County, Minnesota. Food bank officials say people are turning to the organization for support more than ever during the government shutdown. Farmers Union President Mark Watney says the donation comes from the hundreds of family farmers and ranchers who put food on the tables every day. Our partners at Valley News Live say 2 women who operated a Jamestown daycare face felony child abuse charges after an investigation revealed physical abuse of children and the illegal administration of melatonin to make children sleep during nap time. 41-year-old Karen Shemp and 33-year-old Kaylee Cumber each face felony counts of child neglect or abuse. Those incidents happened at Little Explorers Daycare. Both are scheduled for initial court appearances December 3rd. The Wilkin County Sheriff's Office is warning residents to watch out for coyotes. Coyotes have been sighted in the Breckenridge area, particularly near Boydessu Golf Course, and some have approached people and pets. The Wilkin County Sheriff's Office, Breckenridge PD, and the Minnesota DNR are working with landowners to address the incidents and to try to keep everyone safe. North Dakota Congresswoman Julie Fedorchik's staff tells us she plans to introduce legislation that bans members of Congress from getting paid during a shutdown. That was an interview Fedorchik had with our partners at Valley News Live. A Watkins, Minnesota man is accused of beating his coworker to death with a sledgehammer at a business in Cokato. David DeLong has been charged with 1 count of second-degree murder. The attack happened at Advanced Process Technologies. DeLong confessed to killing his female co-worker and told police he didn't like her and planned to kill her. And 2 teens are in custody following a 12-hour crime spree that involved 2 carjackings in Minneapolis. Police say one of the carjackings involved Minneapolis City Council member Jamal Osman. The suspects are 15 and 16. Police say they also carjacked a woman who was with her child. The case will be handed over to the U.S. attorney so more severe criminal charges can be pursued. Minnesota Vikings could have their starting center back soon. Team opened up practice window for Ryan Kelly yesterday. Kelly was put on injured reserve with a designation to return after suffering his 2nd concussion of the season in week 4. The Vikes will have 21 days to place the center on their active roster or else he'll have to miss the rest of the season. Kelly has played in just 3 games since signing with Minnesota in the spring. Minnesota Timberwolves go for their 4th win in a row when they host the Sacramento Kings at Target Center tomorrow night. Wolves are off to a 7-4 start. They just crushed the Kings 144-117 on the road on Sunday. Tomorrow's game will be Minnesota's 2nd game in the NBA Cup group stage. The contest tips off at 7. Minnesota Wild are gearing up for their game against the Anaheim Ducks at Grand Casino Arena Saturday. The Wild are coming off a 2-1 overtime loss to the San Jose Sharks at home Tuesday. Minnesota is in sixth place in the Western Conference with 18 points. Saturday's game starts at 5. College hoops action yesterday. North Dakota State crushed St. Scholastica 111-38. South Dakota beat Southern Indiana 89-74, and South Dakota State lost to Oregon 83-69. We've got a bunch of sports action on our two stations here this weekend. Jason James, you boys are going to be busy.
Yes, we will. Tonight, right here on WDAY Radio, EDC Volleyball Semifinals, top seed Davies takes on West Fargo at 6 p.m. We'll be there with all your coverage right here on WDAY. And then Friday, we will be at the Dakota Bowl for the state championships there. Easy for you to say, Bonnie. Fargo Davies taking on Bismarck Century in the 3A class. That'll kick off at 6:30 p.m. on Friday. Meanwhile, Friday on right here on WDAY Radio, that other game is going to be on our sister station, The Flag. The Minnesota 6A state semifinals, Moorhead takes on Lakeville South. They look to continue their streak of upsets. They take on Lakeville South at 7:30 p.m. at U.S. Bank Stadium, and Larry Knudsen will be there for all your coverage on that. We'll also have a pregame and a postgame hosted by Steve Hallstrom. That'll be at 7 o'clock, half hour before kickoff, and then about half hour after the game is done, they'll have some postgame coverage as well. Saturday, Larry will stay down in the cities as the Concordia Cobbers will take on Carleton, 12 p.m. kickoff with him right here on WDAY. Meanwhile, James and I will get up bright and early, like 5 o'clock in the morning, hit the road, and we have the battle for the title of Minnesota State University as MSUM takes on MSUM. Moorhead versus Mankato, 11 a.m. pregame, 12 p.m. kickoff, the regular season finale for the Dragons.
Mankato's always tough, so how's the game looking?
It's going to be a tough game. Mankato's very good. They pulled off an upset over a top-10-ranked Augustana last week. Dragons, I mean, I think if out of the 3 years we've been covering them, I think this is just as good as any year to try and pull the upset. They've been one-score games the last 2 years. First game that James and I covered down in Mankato between these two schools, Mankato won on a game-winning field goal at the end. We had missed two field goals that day, so we had some plays go against us. Last year, it was 24-19. I believe we were down 24-13. We went for two to try and make it a three-point game. We missed it. They were able to run out the clock in the fourth quarter. So it's been a highly competitive game. Dragon offense is really, really good this year. Defense is able to make enough plays to keep you in games and maybe even win you some games. So it's going to be tough, but in the event that the Dragons win, well, then you got to hope that there's a bunch of other things happen and maybe you find that outside shot into the national tournament, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, you never know. That's why you play the game.
Exactly. Either way, it's been a fantastic career for Jack Strand, Gage Florence, Brady Perryman, records all over the place, 24 seniors that have impacted the program a lot, and I think the program is in a much better position than it was when they arrived on campus. So I can't say enough about the coaching staff and the players there. They're just great men, and I'm proud to be able to get a chance to cover them. So regular season finale on Saturday.
All right, and we have Fargo Force tickets to give away for Saturday night's game, taking on the Youngstown Phantoms. So if you want to win those tickets, you haven't won anything in the past month, be listening for an opportunity. Again, this is for Saturday night's game, and we will be giving them away here today on Bonnie and Friends. Sunny today, 55 for our high temp. Winds out of the south-southeast, 5 to 10. 34 our overnight low. Tomorrow, sunny, breezy, 63 for the high temp. That temperature just keeps going up and up and up. Was it 66 is the record?
It's for Friday?
Something like that.
66. I think it was 66 is what Dean said yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
But he initially was saying like 58, then he moved it to 60, now 63. Mm-hmm. Might we get closer to the record or break one, though?
Yeah, you never
know.
I wouldn't complain either, Bonnie.
Tomorrow's winds will be south 10 to 20, overnight low around 40, and then getting back to where we should be beginning Saturday, partly sunny, breezy, chance of showers, cooler 44 for the high, northwest winds 15 to 25, low of 25, partly sunny on Sunday, 42 for the high, and then Monday through Wednesday it looks like highs will be in the 40s. Right now in Fargo Moorhead, we have partly cloudy skies, 26 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. South-southeast winds 5 miles an hour. It is 5:10. We're going to get you updated on your national news from ABC, then a song of the morn and question of the morn coming up. 5:16 Thursday morning. Welcome in. Thanks for being here. We do appreciate it. Question of the morning, which websites or apps do you like best, and how much time do you spend on them daily or weekly? 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio@wdayradionow.com, or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Good Thursday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Another beautiful night with the northern lights out, but I went to bed. I have to nana sit today. Well, I don't have to, but I get to. I'm super excited for that. So I didn't get up to look. I did peek out the window once, and then I tried to see him when I got up for work this morning, and I didn't see him. But I saw people sharing on Facebook. They look lovely, but it looked like the night before they were even better than that. But I did see somebody in some Facebook groups that I follow, Minnesota one. Somebody was sharing some pictures from Alaska, and I saw some from Wisconsin, that looked absolutely gorgeous, down in Arizona, too. So depending on where you were at, they may have been prettier than others. We did get a picture emailed in. Justin had taken a really nice picture that he sent in. I don't know where he was when he sent it, but it had the northern lights, and then you could see the Big Dipper also. So it was pretty cool. The sky was kind of purplish and a little bit of light green, and just that – wherever he took that picture, I'm assuming somewhere here, you know, North Dakota, Minnesota, a beautiful picture that he sent in. So, Justin, if you're listening this morning, thank you for sending that in. We do appreciate it. It's fun to, like, if you don't catch them yourself, at least it's fun to see them on social media or people emailing in.
I just think it's really neat just how all of it works. And I know yesterday on both even the local news stations, they were really diving deep into why there's certain colors and what is affecting it at what altitude, et cetera. So, I mean, it's really neat. And even to see someone like my aunt in out on the farm in down in South Dakota is taking pictures of it. I thought that was really neat just to be able to see it. And I don't know. I think maybe I've seen it before. I don't know. It doesn't strike a bell in my head that, yeah, I remember sitting out there back home looking at them, but it doesn't seem like something that I wouldn't say it was promoted or anything, but anybody talked a lot about, because my hometown, like, we were on a quote unquote the north edge of town. Of course, there's not much for lights in my hometown anyway, when you only got like 300 people in it. But it's one of those things where if you would have looked to the north, I mean, in theory, you should have been able to see it. But then again, I was preoccupied teenager. Wasn't caring about it.
I think what we're seeing here the past couple of years is much more beautiful than anything that previously had been seen. It was just a rare occasional thing maybe over the years. But I don't know. The one I saw two nights ago was absolutely gorgeous. And like I said, all the pictures people are sharing, absolutely incredible, with strong pinks and greens. And those ones I saw from Alaska that somebody posted in the Facebook group. Yeah. Just incredible. So it was like a watercolor painting, but everything was just so vivid. All the colors just extremely vivid. So yeah, keep on sharing. That's the thing too. Like, if you can't go to a place, it's nice to kind of live vicariously through others by seeing their pictures and
stuff. Which is usually why I enjoy people's vacation fit photos.
Does that bother you? Do you get jealous over it?
No, I
appreciate when people send vacation photos. I like to look at their stuff.
It's just that there was this one person, they got to go to Europe, and then they complained about it
because you had to work for me for
2 weeks, and they just are like taking nice pictures, and they come like, I didn't really want to go.
FYI, I still have 10 days to use before the end of the year.
FYI, I got 10 days. I'm not
going to
be here.
And I am not losing them. Oh, yeah, Fargo Force tickets to give away. Saturday night's game, hosting the Youngstown Phantoms. If you want to win those, you've not won anything in the past month, be listening for an opportunity today. We'll give those away. Also, if you want to go to the Charlie Kirk tribute event, Freedom Matters USA is hosting that this Saturday at the Fargo Holiday Inn. Fox News host Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fela, send us an email, studio@wdayradionow.com. We'll put you in the running. We still have some names saved from earlier in the week, too, that we will be drawing from, but an opportunity to win a family four-pack to that. And we encourage you to take a young person or a veteran with you. All right, which websites or apps, and I'm not talking appetizers, I'm talking like phone apps, Jace.
I do love appetizers.
I know, because I knew you'd go that way on me. Which websites or apps do you like best? How much time do you spend on them daily or weekly? 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Thank you, Kevin and Fergus. He says, of course, the WDAY and Flag app every morning. Why just mornings, Kevin? Why not all day?
Because you're not on in the afternoons, Bonnie. That's why.
No, I think
Kevin is trying to get on your good side.
I think he's listening later in the day to the Jay Thomas Show. But yeah,
I mean, there's so many apps, and there are some that are very productive, some that are a lot of fun, other ones just kind of scrolling. I mean, I'm still, you know, I guess based on our age, Bonnie, I'm still big into checking Facebook and seeing what my friends are up to.
Oh,
because,
are you?
Because a lot of times, you know, that's where a lot of my friends will at least post what's going on in their life, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I think Instagram's a good one, especially when it comes to the college athletes that we follow, because then a lot of times stuff of ours gets shared on Instagram or whatever, or they share stuff, and it's good to kind of, I always think it's good as a broadcaster to really get to know the players. It's harder to do that with the high school kids because I feel a little weird following some of the high school kids on social media because they're so young. College ones, technically, they're all adults, right?
Right.
And we have a certain select few that we interact with and broadcast.
Well, you're following them for a reason. You're not like a weirdo either.
No. But, I mean, you can even have conversations with them, and especially when you kind of know more one-on-one. There's certain players we talk to more often than others on the football team. The basketball team, obviously nobody's wearing helmets and stuff, and you kind of know them more personally, I think. It's good to kind of know more about them. And some of them, you know, I'm at the age where the players that we cover, they're basically in the same range as my daughters. So it's like other kids, you know, that you're not necessarily mentoring, but you're talking to and getting to know, et cetera. So those two are pretty good. I like the Instagram reels, the Facebook reels.
Yes, you do.
Those are great.
Although me, you, and James probably equally amongst the three of us send those back and forth to each other.
My wife finally got into, just like our very own Jay Thomas, finally got into TikTok. And I think I've created a monster because I will literally be here at work, or I will be on a broadcast, and I see the little, because it's not a notification, it's a little drop-down one. It notifies me that she's shared a video with me.
I will not download the TikTok app. I'm just like, no. Janae sent something the other day. If I can open it and not download the app, because sometimes you can, sometimes you can't.
I don't know why you don't like TikTok. I mean, it's just basically Instagram reels all the time.
Chinese are stealing our information.
No, it's going to be owned by an American company.
It's going to be. That's been going on for a year and a half already.
I don't think your information's any less safe on TikTok.
Who already had their credit card hacked, by the way?
Less safe on TikTok than it is on Instagram.
I don't know. I'm just not interested. I finally got reimbursed for those four fraudulent charges on my credit card. It took like two and a half months.
Technically, it shouldn't have really been reimbursed. Those charges should have been removed.
Well, whatever. Removed.
Removed. Because I was going to say, you should have never, ever had to pay for them, because they would have been in dispute, number one. Then eventually they take them off there when they do their research and find out that, Bonnie didn't make this purchase. But going back to the apps, ones that show little videos and things like that, I do go back a lot of times. I actually use the Yahoo Sports app more than the ESPN one.
Well, you're into sports and you want to see it and you like it better.
It's
apparently
more basic. It doesn't do a very good job of like stats and stuff for the FCS football teams, and it doesn't have any Division II stuff.
A lot of times less is more because you get to the point of what you want.
And it's just basically more of like standings and scores, et cetera. It doesn't have all the video and all the highlights and stuff that the ESPN app has. So it's a little bit more streamlined, you might say. So I go to that one quite a bit.
Well, you'll see me. I mean, I surf news all day. Mm-hmm. You'll see me. Sometimes I'll throw in the same version of a story from different sites because I'll finally find a better written story because when we're on the air here, it's hard to kind of look at a long story. It's like, get to the point. So I'll always pick the one that is like, okay, that's what I was looking for. It's a more condensed version. Yep. My favorite app that I use, yes, I have Facebook because that's where I post our question the more and I interact with you guys or whatever. So, I mean, that's part of work tools. I have to have that. The WDAY app, obviously, too. Mm-hmm. But something I have, and It's like a news aggregator site. It's called InnoReader, and you can add any TV, radio, press, whatever into this, and it'll pull it all into one stream.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I do because I'm just a voracious news reader. I'll never get away from news. It's been my life. So that's all I do all day when I get bored. It's like, there I am. I'm on my phone, but I'm on my phone and I'm reading. So it's not like I'm just doing mindless things. Which,
I mean, I still use Twitter, not quite as much as I used to, because I don't I reshare stuff on Twitter. I haven't really made an actual post on Twitter in a long time, to be fair.
I have it as a news tool, but I don't use Twitter.
I kind of read stuff on there, James, and I will find interesting stories or posts. Like, I think the other day my buddy, who's a big Giants fan, I found a tweet that said the Giants were starting Jameis Winston as their quarterback this coming weekend. And I texted it to him, and I can't remember what he said yesterday morning, but he goes, "This is the happiest I've been waking up to a tweet in a morning tweet or a morning text ever." And it was because he didn't want to see Russell Wilson as their starting quarterback. Uh-huh. So it was pretty funny. But there are reporters, especially when there's reporters you follow and they have their own account, they post stuff on there. And sometimes, depending on what the topic is, you know, for James and myself, it's sports. It's a great way to get breaking sports news.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Sometimes the apps or websites we use, they're used as tools for our work, for all of us. Or sometimes it's just for pleasure that you're going to these. So.
Yeah, and a lot of it is.
And if it's real pleasurable, we don't want to hear about those websites this morning. There's going to be somebody that does
that.
Oh,
my gosh.
It'll probably come as a text, and I'll know who it is. I'm not going to name names, but which websites or apps do you like best? And how much time do you spend on them daily or weekly? 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Rick says eBay, YouTube, Amazon, all the biggies. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing the boat. Susie says Amazon and Bed and Bath. I go to just my web browser to do my Amazon. Maybe I should download. No, it's probably dangerous to have the app on my phone.
It's not really because...
No, I just meant shopping-wise dangerous.
No, I mean, we have... Like, my wife will go to Amazon and Walmart on her computer because, obviously, it's a bigger screen. You can see stuff.
Yeah.
But we both have those apps on our phone because, number one, I don't know if you know this or not, Walmart, you still have to use your physical card to purchase stuff at Walmart here locally. You have to put your card in the card reader, or you can pay through the Walmart app. Now, it's one of those things where instead of using Apple Pay or Google Pay or whatever those are, you put your payment information on the Walmart app and you scan this QR code to pay. So you can use the Walmart app for something like that, but you can also add stuff to your cart if you have like weekly shopping that you need to do, like, well, we need to have salad mix and things. You can add stuff to your list that until you're ready to submit that order. You can use your app for that on your phone. Amazon, the same thing. I mean, I'll look up stuff on the Amazon app on my phone, but sometimes it's easier on the computer because, like I said, you can see the pictures bigger. You don't have to try and zoom in and squint on your phone to see it.
I never use my computer. I'm always on my phone. But I'm just saying, if the Amazon app was right there on my home screen, like Sophia said yesterday, that could be dangerous. I do have it on a web browser, and I'll do that too. If I want something or need something, I don't need it yet. I will put it in my cart and let it sit there.
I will say this. I think that the Amazon app for you could be a problem if you don't pay attention to the size of the containers of things you're buying and realize you already put it in your cart.
Oh, yeah, Vaseline.
A lot of Vaseline.
Speaking of Amazon and delivery, so Carly, well, because they have a new house too, so they're still in the process of ordering new things or whatever for their new house. But every time the doorbell rings, and it's usually Amazon deliveries, the dog, Odin, goes absolutely nuts, and Zara starts screaming, "Nana, Nana, Nana, Nana," because she thinks I'm coming over to visit. Carly texted me yesterday. I said, "No, not today, but Nana will come over tomorrow." So,
well, I mean, to be fair, Luna does the same thing when someone rings our doorbell, and
Zeus doesn't. Thank goodness,
Sandy. We have a It's not a curio cabinet. It's a what do you call those? Like you have a hutch or whatever when you put your fancy dishes in or whatever. It's kind of a cheaper one of those. It's smaller than like a great
China
big
hutch.
One.
I would say
a little bit. It's a small one, so it looks more like a little cabinet, right? And she wants to get rid of it, but we don't have any room in the garage to put it, so it's been upstairs. And so, of course, she was saying, well, we need to move this or put it on the curb and let someone have it or whatever. And then, of course, then she starts knocking on it, Even knocking on it, and Luna looking at Sandy, I think seeing that she was the one knocking on it, still barks like someone's at the door.
Oh, that's funny.
So Luna's another one of those dogs. You ring the doorbell, knock on the door, knock on wood around there somewhere, and she's like, oh! And you're just like, no, nobody's, you can see mom. She's literally knocking on the, armoire.
So far, Zeus does not bark at the doorbell.
So far. Just wait.
Yeah, he did. He was out in the front yard yesterday. He did bark at one of the neighbors, was walking her two dogs. He did like, this is my yard. You know, I'm 5.5 months old. I'm big and tough. I'm going to defend it.
This is my yard. You want to come over and play?
I hope it doesn't change. I hope he doesn't change into a big barker. So, yeah. I mean, he will bark, obviously. He's a dog. Yeah, but it's nothing like that gets to the annoying part.
No, Luna's actually really good about that. She barks when someone knocks on the door or somebody shows up. But she's just super excited. And like I said, the thing I learned most was when I got home from the hospital and we had to replace the washing machine and the delivery guy showed up to take it downstairs and install it for me. She was sniffing him and he just goes, oh, she smells my cats and I've got a dog or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then she petted, she got petted by the guy. And then all of a sudden she calmed down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she just wants to be introduced to whoever's at the door, have them acknowledge her, and then she'll be fine. So
all I'm saying is there better not be any deliveries at Carly's house, say, between 11 and 1 today, because that's nap time, and Odin does not need to be barking.
Well,
Nana's going to take a nap, too.
I bet you something's coming.
Probably.
Hey, Mom, just remember that there's a package coming about 12:30, so if you could grab that off the porch and no one takes, that'd be great. And you're like, oh, okay, so my nap's going to be interrupted.
Or I put Odin in his kennel during nap time down in the basement where he can't see things.
Well, he might hear things, though.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, life with a dog.
Yep.
5:37, which websites or apps do you like best, and how much time do you spend on them daily or weekly? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn, 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com, or you can drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. Thursday morning, welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jay Stenman, and you, Jim Miller, will have your WDAY Radio news coming up at the top of the hour. I'll have weather duty today and Big Game James McCarty with your WDAY Radio sports. Our friend, Hunter Chef Jeff Benda, joins us at 7:10 this morning. A lot of people out have harvested their deer. They're working on getting deer, so we'll talk about cooking deer steak. WildGameAndFish.com. He's got 34 venison steak recipes on his website right now if you want to check it out. But it's always fun chatting with him during hunting season, and he gives us more than just recipes. He tells us about what's going on there out there in the field, whether it's birds and they're moving, they're not moving, you know, the deer and the mule deer out west. So it's always fun chatting with him. So 7:10 this morning. Again, if you want to go to the Freedom Matters USA Charlie Kirk tribute with Fox News host Brian Kilmeade and Jimmy Failla at the Holiday Inn in Fargo this Saturday, and you have not emailed in yet, send us an email, studio at wdayradionow.com. We will be picking a winner of a family four-pack right here on Bonnie and Friends this morning. Coming up 6:56 this morning, we're going to do Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this group. They are on Rolling Stone's list. One of their songs, 500 Greatest Songs of All Time. It influenced garage rock and punk rock. Find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback right around 6:56. 5:44, which websites or apps do you like best? And how much time do you spend on them daily or weekly? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning, 701-293-9000. You can email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. And do you get those notifications on your phone? Like, you spent 23 minutes less on your phone this week. I get them from time to time.
There is something on the Apple phones that will tell you how much screen time you had. And even though some of it is very much justified, like you're looking up stuff, I mean, there's...
Well, we spend, what, 3 hours during our show on
and
our
and
phone.
There's prep sites and there's Slack and things like that that you got to go through and just Googling stuff. I mean, how many times we'll talk about something and then one of the two of us will be Googling it. You've got the computer set up. I just don't like setting up my Surface tab, but I'll just do it on my phone. But, you know, some of that time on your phone is either work-related
yep.
or family-related. Yeah, there is a bunch of time you spend scrolling on it. And I know my wife and I, like I said, both gotten into watching TikTok videos because you can find things you like. I never realized I liked watching people build survival shelters in the woods somewhere. I mean, that's just another thing. They speed it up so you can watch them yeah. build a shelter under a tree. But anyway.
You can see pretty much everything out there.
Not that. You can't see that everything. That's not allowed on there. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, but you see your total screen time, and you're always kind of like, dang, I spent a lot of time on there. But like my phone, that's where I get my emails. Mm-hmm. That's where I have to pay my medical bills. That's where I have other payments that I got to send out. You can send it out through their apps on different, you know, for different companies.
I think I spend 5.5 hours a day on my phone, it tells me.
Well, I mean,
But like I said, like here in the studio, I'm mm-hmm. on my phone for 3.5 hours yeah. right then. And then I try to narrow it down where twice a day I'll do a big, well, it's probably three times, once in the morning, once, you know, mid-morning, and then an afternoon where I do a big sweep looking for news stories mm-hmm. and talking points. So, yeah, I mean, very little. I might check Facebook once or twice. And usually what I'm looking for on Facebook is people will post different things and in community groups or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, you're big in the groups.
For mm-hmm. news tips or yeah. talking
yeah.
tips
yeah.
on our
show. Totally.
So,
I like I said, I'm usually on Facebook checking out to see what my family's doing, seeing what my friends are doing, because obviously as all of us get older, there's those of us with health issues or all of a sudden they've got kids that are graduating or getting married, they're having grandkids, whatever. So, I mean, I find myself drawn to that app. And of course, a lot of our stuff that especially specifically the videos and things that James puts together, I want to get it shared out on my page as well for our videos from the last game or our interviews. And then that's also on Twitter. And I don't remember some stuff ends up on Instagram or whatever. So you're sharing stuff, doing stuff like that. But I probably spend more time on there personally than professionally. But I mean, there is mm-hmm. professional stuff that you do
yeah,
on there.
That's why I try to keep my friend list low. Yeah. You're welcome, John. I accepted his friend Yikes. Request the other day, but I try to keep mm-hmm. it low. Justine says block blast, way too much mm-hmm. time on it each night. That was that when you're crushing blocks and they have to form like a certain row.
Is that one there's of those? One that was called, what was it called? Something like Toon Blast. And you push a color of blocks that are all touching each other and it gets rid of them. So it's probably something like that.
It is. I've played this before.
I got stuck on a level, I don't even know how long ago because I don't remember when I kind of stopped playing it, but I got stuck on a level on Candy Crush and I went back to it this week and I'm like, I don't know how I'm supposed to finish this. And I don't have enough little gold pieces to get extra moves to finish it. But I for a while I was doing these three different solitaire games on my phone, which was fun. And supposedly you can win money, but it's only like money on their app, so it doesn't really do anything.
I don't do much playing. I do have solitaire app on my mm-hmm. phone, but maybe a couple times a year I'll go to yeah. that. I was doing like a word puzzle thing with mm-hmm. a friend, but he didn't move in a couple months, yeah. so I kind of gave up on that. Mm-hmm. But I really don't play many games unless I'm really, really bored.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I mean, we've got gaming systems at home we can play, you know. I mean, so to me, playing games on your phone, it's like, well, it's not quite the same as a gaming system for those out there that have Xboxes or PlayStations, you know. And, you know, James and I each have PlayStations,
portable,
and it's more.
Portable, say if you're waiting for an appointment mm-hmm. somewhere, you've got your phone with
yep.
you. It helps pass the time.
Yeah, and so, I mean, the solitaire game, I got rolled into that over the summer. Then I've basically kind of moved away from that. And granted, we've been busy on weekends. So, you know, there's an app on my iPad I use every weekend to do our Facebook Live stream. And then you got to go back over to Facebook and make sure that it's actually working and the audio's coming through because it's got our audio from the radio broadcast through this Facebook Live app, and you got to make sure that's working. So, you know, there's certain apps, and it just seems like Facebook is the one I spend the most time yeah. on.
And like I said, a lot of them, us use them for work.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's for pleasure. In addition to the Block Blast at night, Justine says Canva. She uses it every
oh,
day.
Yeah.
She works at school. She's a teacher. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's just a helpful thing. Maybe she's putting her lessons in there. I don't know,
well,
doing collages or whatever.
Yeah, making collages.
I use Canva every day, too, I
yeah.
guess.
My wife has her own Canva account, and she was nice enough to make a few birthday posters for her good friend that she works with.
It's pretty cool. Janae has it, too, and Janae will yeah. do different Canva things, too. It mm-hmm. is. It's just like, I just don't have a lot of time to monkey around. Yeah. I'm just into the basics and stuff. Well, but if you have extra time to do stuff like that.
Yeah, and James is so much better at putting graphics and videos together. I don't know how to do any of that. And I guess this old dog hasn't really been like, yeah, let me learn how to do that so I can do half the videos and stuff. Because I'm like,
if you don't know, then you can't do it, right?
No, and it looks hard. It looks very hard to do.
Yeah, once you learn something, it's pretty easy. But Barb says Color Pro and Solitaire. She spends too much time on those. That Color Pro is kind of cool. I did check that out where you just pick a color and then you
drop. And I think my daughters at times have done that on their phones or iPads, and they find enjoyment in that. But I guess to me,
it's kind of like paint by number, the digital version.
It is, but the thing is, though, is that you've got this square and it needs this color. So you click this color and you tap it and it fills it in for you. It's not like you're doing an actual paint by numbers where you have a paintbrush and you got to fill it in.
I think it's kind of like a mindless thing that passes the time and then you end up with a pretty picture in the end.
Yeah, and I think that's the same thing with things like Solitaire and Candy Crush. They're time wasters, but I mean, they literally have a commercial for Candy Crush. I don't know if they're still using it, where it's like, sit down, relax, and just kind of, you know, unwind by playing Candy Crush. Mm-hmm. Because, it is just a game, and it's funny when you move the candies and they... delicious, the guy will say.
And like I said, at home it's fine too. But if you have to spend hours in a waiting room or you're going through some kind of treatment or whatever at the hospital, you have to have something to keep you busy too.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it was it made a big difference in the hospital when I got my phone and I got my iPad to do things.
Did you find games to play too then? Or?
I played some games, but a lot of times I went to my iPad and I was using that to watch things. Like, I felt bad telling James this, but since the Wi-Fi at the hospital was absolutely terrible. I mean, I tell the story about being in the WASI building when we were there for a week after technically being discharged, and we had to be there for a couple tests and to be monitored, et cetera. And the Wi-Fi was so bad, and all their TVs were like DirecTV Wi-Fi based ones. Well, if the Wi-Fi was bad, you didn't get any channels. So I had like three of the same channel and a couple other ones, and there was nothing on. So when I could get a signal, because my cell phone data coverage down there was pretty good, I was able to use that as a hotspot, and then I could watch YouTube TV or I could watch Amazon Prime or Netflix or whatever on my iPad. So a lot of times I spent on weekends saving up some of that data so I could watch the Dragons play, because basketball season was just starting, and then we had high expectations for the men's team last year, and obviously wanted to watch the women's team too, and they play a doubleheader. So I needed like 6 hours worth of data so I could watch stuff. And let's put it this way, in the month of November into December, I used up all my data. So then I was just, I was like on a very limited stream, and I'm just like, well, I can't watch anything on my iPad anymore, because if I want to watch the game this weekend, well, then I can't really sit here and watch a movie. So I was frustrated.
But yeah, apps and websites, I mean, that can help pass the time when you're bored, lonely, or just can't leave a certain place for whatever reason. Which websites or apps do you like best? How much time do you spend on them daily or weekly? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn, 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Bonnie says, jigsaw puzzles, it becomes addicting. Probably spend too much time doing it. No, because I think you're keeping your mind active, too. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
There have been studies for people that play games, and I don't know if this is, it's not just limited to video game systems. It could be your stuff on your phone. But when you play games, it's a great way, especially as you get older, to keep your mind active.
Yeah, your brain's engaged.
And that can help, you know, push off any type of mental decline as you age, which is normal for a lot of people. So.
And Bonnie's retired. I think that's great that you keep doing those jigsaw puzzles. Yep. I don't think so. I don't think too much. And then Mark says Amazon, way too much time and money.
Amazon's a fun game, but it gets expensive.
It sure does.
And you're like, hey, that looks cool. Let's try that. Oh, there's another $50.
That's why you sometimes like don't pull the trigger on something. You put in your cart and it's like, do you really need that? You know what I bought? And I'm just like enthralled with this now. They had, and it was kind of expensive. It was like $120 or $130. Yeah. It's an electric flosser.
How does an electric flosser work?
It's got like little floss heads on it. And you just turn it on and just like an electric toothbrush, but it's a flosser. It was something that was featured like on Shark Tank. And it took off from there.
I might need to get one of those.
It's called Flausser, F-L-A-U.
Flausser. Is German for flosser.
I think it's like flosser.
It's deflausser.
I'm loving it. I just got it a week ago. And
I'm flossing
pretty,
it.
Pretty darn cool. 5:56, time to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel.
Good Thursday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Thanks for being a friend. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, Jim Miller has your WDAY Radio news coming up at the top of the hour. I will cover weather. Can tell you it's going to be nice the next couple of days, cooling off for the weekend, but temperatures will return to probably more normal for the weekend. 55 with sunshine today, 63 tomorrow. Might it go higher? We shall see, but enjoy that 63-degree day because reality check with the more seasonable temps coming in. Which websites or apps do you like best and how much time do you spend on them daily or weekly? That's our Bonnie and Friends Question of the Morn, 701-293-9000. You can email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Crash is another one. Facebook, way too much time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. The past year or so, what are you watching videos over there? I hear.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Past year or so, I just don't. Like, yeah, I like to kind of just do a scroll probably a couple times a day. But if I'm on it, it's usually on our Question of the Morn page because I'm looking at responses.
Yeah, and there's a separate app to kind of manage all the stuff. You don't have to do it technically through the Facebook app, but, I mean, that's just another app that's basically directly related to Facebook. So between those two apps, because I try and at least remember some weeks ahead of time to do the Friday food fight, which I did early this week.
Okay, so we'll be listening tomorrow morning about 8:23-ish.
Yeah, I try and post it at a different time than the Question of the Morning. Your question usually goes up at what, 3 or 2?
I usually trigger that for about 1:35 in the afternoon.
Yeah. I put it at like 5.
Yeah, that's good.
Because
yeah.
It's also that you're going to be starting to get ready to eat something for supper, usually. I mean, sometimes my eating schedule gets a little wonky, but, you know, it's November, so just teasing that. I think the rest of the month will be some Thanksgiving-type food fights.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's my idea anyway.
But, all of it. It's
which
delicious.
still, just going back to what you said like last week, turkey loaf, still not a bad meal. I'm just saying.
I'd rather have actual turkey.
Obviously. So would I, but I wouldn't turn down a turkey loaf.
I was so disappointed the one year I accidentally bought turkey loaf. I'm like, oh, this is like
I think I bought
fab stuck together.
Yeah, I think I bought. I think
stuff.
I bought it knowing it was not actual turkey, but it was something in my price range. That might have been back when I was either in college or I lived in Tucson, one of the two. And I was just like, oh, I can get turkey meat ish.
Yep.
And gravy, and I get to have that taste of Thanksgiving in my mouth right now, just on a random weekend or a random weekday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll try it.
Yeah, mine was a rookie mistake. I learned from there. All right, it is 6:01. We are WDAY Fargo. 6:02, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki phoning it in today. I've got weather duty, probably because it's going to be so nice. He's like, nah, I'm not coming in. You can handle it.
You said duty.
Sunny today, 55.
Thanks, Captain Obvious.
55 for our high temp. Mm-hmm. Wind south, southeast, 5 to 10. 34 the low. Tomorrow, sunny. A little breezy, but still a lovely day. 63 for the high. South winds, 10 to 20. 40 our overnight low. And then it'll cool down for the weekend, but it's still not bad weather. Partly sunny, breezy on Saturday. Just a tiny chance there could be a passing shower. 44 for the high Saturday. Northwest winds 15 to 25, 25 or overnight low. Sunday, partly sunny, 42 for the high, a low around 27. Monday through Wednesday, I am seeing highs in the 40s. And let me just double check here on whether there's going to be any precip. Yeah, it looks like Monday, Tuesday. I thought I remembered Dean saying something about that. There's a 30% chance we could see some rain, it looks like, Monday and Tuesday.
Was there a chance this weekend for some precipitation?
Saturday, 20% chance.
Oh, that's pretty minimal.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so if you see something, it's just a passing shower or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, turning colder, more seasonable, I suppose, with temperatures in the 40s beginning Saturday. So two really nice days here with sunshine, 55 today, 63 tomorrow. Right now, it is partly cloudy. We have 27 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the southeast about 5 miles an hour. 6:04, we're going to get you updated here on your national news from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty is in with your WDAY radio sports. 6:08, Big Game James McCarty has arrived with your WDAY radio sports.
Tonight, EDC tournament volleyball play continues. We're going to have a couple of loser out matches at 6 o'clock. Shanley hosting Grand Forks Red River and Fargo North hosting Fargo South. Additionally, in the winner's bracket, you'll have West Fargo Cheyenne hosting West Fargo Horace. And then Fargo Davies, the top seed, hosting 4 seed of West Fargo High. Jason and I will be at that West Fargo and Fargo Davies matchup right here on WDAY Radio, a first serve of 6 p.m. here this evening. Class A Region 1 Championship, you'll have top-seeded Oak Grove battle 3-seed Central Cass at 7 o'clock tonight. That's at Valley City for the right to go to the Class A state tournament next weekend, Bismarck. College basketball last night saw men's hoops. North Dakota State rule St. Scholastica 111-38. Tay Smith led the Bison with 24 points. Minnesota fell to Missouri 83-60. The Gophers were only down 2 at the half, but were outscored by 21 points in the second half. Cade Tyson paced Minnesota with 17 points. Valley City State defeating Dakota Wesleyan 88-84. Joel Nelson led VCSU with 16 points. Concordia edged out Minnesota Morris 79-74. Jacob Cook led the way for the Cobbers with 22 points and 10 rebounds. And then women's hoops, only one matchup last night. That was Concordia College. The Cobbers taking down Minnesota Morris 85-56. Macy Wheeldon, the Davies product, with 16 points to lead the Cobbers in that matchup. Tonight we're going to have, as I had mentioned, high school volleyball, the EDC semifinals, right here at 6 o'clock with Fargo Davies taking on West Fargo High. Tomorrow evening we'll have primetime sports at 6:30. We'll be joined by Kevin Marshall, host of FCS Nation, as we get our weekly look around the subdivision of college football, Division I football, into a 7 p.m. pregame show for Spud football in the Minnesota 6A state semifinals. Steve Hallstrom will have that half-hour pregame for you, and then Larry Knutson will be on the call at 7:30 for Moorhead Spud football taking on Lakeville South for the right to go to the Prep Bowl. Spuds have not been to the Prep Bowl since 1987, if I remember correctly. So the year that they won the state championship, the COVID season, it was...
That was by vote.
It was by vote at the end of the section tournament. They actually were going into the section championship game.
That's weird. I don't remember that.
And they had canned it. And so, yeah, that was also the same year that Trey Feeney was named the Gatorade Player of the Year. Minnesota. So yeah. It was an odd fall, to say the least, where we finally got football in. We were rolling, and then they had put the pause year. On it. They had canceled it. Then they went to what, you know, the 1950s version of Division I football was, which is, hey, we have the top teams in the area. Let's vote on the champion. Mm-hmm. And you know what? So the Spuds were state champs that year, but they have not been to the Prep Bowl officially since the late 1980s, trying to get back there here after this weekend. And then on Saturday afternoon, Cobber football wraps up their 2025 campaign. They're at Carlton. That's a noon kickoff on Saturday with Larry Knutson on the call. Over on our sister station, The Flag, Friday night, Dakota Bowl coverage with Fargo Davies taking on Bismarck Century. They're the top seed out of each respective region. Davies out of the east, Century out of the west. That's a 6:30 kickoff with Jason and I on the call for that one over on The Flag. And then on Saturday, late morning into the afternoon hours, Minnesota State Moorhead Dragon football at Minnesota State Mankato, as the Dragons take on the Mavs to wrap up the 2025 campaign. 11 a.m. pregame with a noon kickoff for that bout. That'll be over on our sister station, The Flag, again. Sports this hour, well, brought to you by Fargo Force Hockey. They will host Youngstown, the Phantoms, on Friday and Saturday this weekend. 7:05 puck drop on Friday, 6:05 puck drop on Saturday. If you don't win tickets through Jason Bonney today, well, you know what? Just either go to the Shields Arena box office or buy some tickets online, fargoforce.com.
A couple of crazy stories in the news. One out of Idaho in which a house was destroyed. Not really an accident, but it was destroyed. And a workplace killing in Minnesota down in Cokato. That'd be the south central part of the state. Very bizarre. We'll talk about those stories and more coming up next. 6:15, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. On a Thursday morning, Hunter Chef Jeff Benda joins us at 7:10. He will be talking about cooking deer steak. A lot of recipes he has at wildgameandfish.com. 34 venison steak recipes right there on the website. Always fun chatting with him. Also be listening if you want to go to the Fargo Force game. They are hosting Youngstown Phantoms Saturday night. They're hosting them Friday and Saturday. But we have Saturday tickets to give away today. You haven't wanted anything in the past month and you want to go to the game, be listening for an opportunity to win. Crazy story out of Idaho, Post Falls, Idaho. Police got a series of 911 calls just after 5:30 in the morning on November 11th. Neighbors were just like, what the heck is going on? Somebody with an excavator making a racket, 5:40 in the morning. Usually if it's a construction crew, they're not going to start work.
Not at 5:40, no.
Because they're not going to make people happy. Apparently, some drunk guy somehow got an excavator for somewhere and decided to tear a house down.
That would be less than ideal.
Yeah. It didn't sound like it was occupied from what I've seen in the video I was watching. It sounds like it had just sold. But it looks like a nicer house. Looking at a picture, it probably looks like a house that's maybe like 15 years old. And he went after it with the excavator, basically destroyed it.
Was there any reason why he did it? I mean, was it an ex?
Is he a recent divorcee?
He a recent divorcee?
Yeah, that's a good question, too.
Yeah, I mean, if he's a recent divorcee, maybe there's something more to the story.
It doesn't say that, but it says he was drunk.
No.
I think we need some crime investigators in there to figure this out, because this seems like something that did get figured out in court.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder if there was a reason why that house. Because obviously getting an excavator and tearing down a house, I mean, as much as that would probably be fun, but why that house?
Some people just get so drunk they don't even know what the heck they're doing. And
True. I mean, but
keys
that's...
Keys are found in here. Oh, I'm going to steal this and... I'm just going to go. Who knows what's going through his mind?
I just wonder if there was some type of this is where my ex-wife or ex-girlfriend is moving to with her new boyfriend, husband, significant other, whatever.
Imagine having to file that claim with the insurance. Sure.
Yeah, someone just tore down our house. We just bought it. We've got this huge mortgage.
It was my ex-husband, too.
Look, if you change your mind, if you look like you changed your mind, you didn't want to buy the house, I mean, you should have not signed the paperwork.
There is no indication that he knew the people that had bought this house or sold this house. It just sounds like he was just drunk, so he's facing DUI charges, burglary, reckless endangerment, and a bunch of other charges as well, malicious injury to property. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So does insurance cover that, then?
Well, I would think that the subject of the criminal investigation, they will be responsible for it.
Yeah, good luck.
Well, you'd hope so, because I don't think that your insurance is going to technically want to fork over money for something that their client, the one that bought the house, I mean, you insure it against things happen, but do you really want to have to pay to rebuild an entire house based on a criminal act? I mean, that's got to come from somewhere else.
Somewhere.
You know?
Oh, my gosh. But that would be just awful.
It would be a pain. I mean, you'd have to ask, in a sense, you'd have to ask someone in the insurance business, like, you know, our friend DJ or something.
Yeah, and who knows if it even changed hands yet insurance-wise. Like, mm-hmm. maybe the owner that sold it still has insurance on it prior to it. Hopefully there's insurance on it from somebody.
Hopefully somebody's
got
it
covered.
Or the
new owner. But that's crazy. Yeah, can you imagine you're out of town or whatever, you come back and then your house is gone because some drunk dummy decided
to take the excavator. Hey, Dad, we just closed on the house. Yeah, we can't wait. You know, maybe you guys can come up in a week or so. We've got a moving truck. We're going to start to get stuff moved in there. If you guys can come up and help, they're like, yeah, sure, no problem. All of a sudden you go, you got to call them back. All of a sudden you get back into town. You're like, you don't have to worry about coming up. Why? We're not moving. Why? Something happened? Did the loan fall through? No, someone tore down the new house.
Do you remember, we were still over in the other building, but mm-hmm. it was probably about 3-4 years ago, somebody, and I can't remember what state it was in, but they stole an army tank and led police on a, obviously, low-speed chase, but they were taking out vehicles. I want to say it was like 7 vehicles were crushed by this tank.
I don't know that that's the first time that's happened. It seemed like that happened like in the 1980s or 1990s or something like that, but I think that's happened a few times. And you see the video of it, and someone's driving a tank down a street somewhere, and they're just running over everything. And it doesn't matter what's in their way.
Don't leave the keys in vehicles. This is also a crazy story.
Who leaves keys in a tank?
I don't know.
I mean, that seems
anything.
Not safe.
Don't leave your keys in your vehicle. If it's a construction vehicle, your personal vehicle, don't do it. You just never know. Tragic story out of South Central Minnesota. It happened at a workplace. 20-year-old woman bludgeoned to death with a sledgehammer by a coworker. And she looked like such a nice, lovely young lady, played basketball, just like the athletes you guys hang out with all the time, played basketball in high school. She wanted to be a welder, so she went to work at this company as a welder, Advanced Process Technologies. About 6 o'clock in the morning, was I think 2 days ago, officers responded to a 911 call reporting a woman with major head trauma, significant blood loss. They arrived on scene, tried to save her life, but she died at the scene. Through their investigation, they determined a coworker identified as 40-year-old David DeLong of Watkins, Minnesota, assaulted her. Told deputies he didn't like her. He planned on killing her for some time. How sad is that?
What in the world is wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, because that is not, I mean.
Normal thinking.
That is not normal thinking. And quite honestly, that whole concept of either someone doing something with a sledgehammer or potentially an axe, that is
just
absolutely disgusting way to end someone's life, because you have, I mean, it's not going to be just one hit and done.
Mm-mm.
It's going to be several strikes. And I mean, you think it's very odd to see someone get a gun and shoot someone just because they don't like them or whatever, but then to use something in a sense as personal as a sledgehammer, I mean, that is just absolutely disgusting.
And, you know, other coworkers obviously were around, saw this happen. A victim identified as 20-year-old Amber Check, and I'm looking at a story here. CBS News down in the Twin Cities did a story here, but they shared, you know, great pictures of her basketball career.
Yeah.
I guess she was quite a player back in high school, talked to her coach and stuff, and she just sounded like a lovely young lady, and for some reason, somebody with obvious issues.
Definitely.
And she just went to work that day wanting to do what she loved, learned how to weld, was doing a good job working there, and life forever, well, she's dead now, but I mean, his life is forever changed too by this, not to mention all the other coworkers who witnessed the
eats. I don't know, I wouldn't, there'd be part of me, I wouldn't want to go back to work there just remembering that.
There would be a lot of trauma for however many people. I'm sure there was a number of people working that shift down there. Super sad. I see, and I've stocking up on already my baking, because I bake, you know, for the holidays, for friends, for family, for, you know, neighbors and stuff. Stuff you need, supplies. If you're a baker, things are expensive. I want to say the bark I got was like $4.79, and I thought that was really steep. And for those of us that use bark, there's certain brands that just they're not right. They either taste off, they look off. So you kind of get to know what kind of brands you like and whatnot. But $4.79, and then I thought, well, did I pay a lot? I got it at the grocery store cash-wise. And then I saw like Fleet Farms flyer came out, and they've got all the baking with nuts and baking supplies. And I thought it was the same price there. And so everything, I mean, get ready for that for all you bakers out there. Yeah. I mean, same as grocery prices. We just know everything's up, but it's like, that was kind of a shock that much.
Yeah.
And it was on sale for that much.
Yeah. I mean, anytime there's something that there's a spike in the price and you're used to paying a certain amount, I mean, you're just like, wait, what has just happened? I mean, not that it's the same as baking supplies, but I know that when I renewed my subscription to Sunday Ticket, you know, when you first do it on YouTube, you got like this discount. And then I swear the second year, I got another discount for renewing based on the fact I had to have the normal TV package with them. But then this year that didn't happen. And I was like, wait a minute, why am I paying this much for this? I don't think the price was going up. And so I'm still confused as to how I overpaid. But the problem was is that especially by spring, I'm still recovering. And so I just assume everything's fine. Things are going to auto renew. You get the same discount. But then all of a sudden, you see the sticker shock of like, well, this is like $100, $150 more than I paid last year. How did that happen? So, I mean, sometimes
everything's expensive.
Sometimes you go to the store and you buy stuff that you always buy. All of a sudden, everything adds up. I mean, I went to the store the other day, got a few things, a couple of things we needed for bathroom-wise, some other stuff, etc. And, of course, my wife waited till not that day, but the next day. And it's like, you spent over $100 there. What did you even buy? And of course, me, I'm like, I bought
probably not much.
Not
usually
much.
The going line.
No,
right?
and I got some stuff over here, some stuff in the food. I don't remember what I bought. I'm like, look on the app. I mean, I paid through the app, so the receipt's there. I'm like, why would you ask me now? We're like getting ready to go to bed, and I'm like, I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think when I went to Cashwise to pick up whatever else I needed, it was like a $170 bill, and that was basically stuff for Thanksgiving, and I already have the turkey, and I already have the ham. It didn't, that wasn't even in there. And then, like I said, I picked up a bunch of baking supplies because I'll probably start my holiday baking not too long in the future here. But stuff's expensive, and sometimes you want a certain brand because it's tested, tried, and true.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I did. Now that you mentioned Thanksgiving, I did get some stuff in the medicine, you know, vitamins and Band-Aids or whatever. And then I went and I got those two turkey breasts, which that is more expensive, like I said, than a turkey, because that was about $30 right there between getting two of those, then a bag of potatoes and this and that. And yeah, boom, $117, whatever it was.
It doesn't take much.
Not at all.
I do see where, and we had talked the other day, too, about Thanksgiving meals at, like, a lot of the big retailers, Walmart, Target, Aldi, whatever, they've got a special where you can get all this for $30 or $40 bucks. But you notice there's less items.
Yep.
Target now says it is lowering prices on food and other essential goods ahead of the holiday season. They are lowering the costs of 3,000 items from food to beverages to essential items.
Is there a percentage on how much they're lowering it? Because technically, I remember I told you that story of when I was a kid. I got my first gaming system. Yeah. I got the Nintendo, and I kept it every time we'd go to Watertown for grocery shop, and I kept an eye on what the price of that Nintendo system was, right? And then all of a sudden, right around Thanksgiving or whenever it was, the price jumped by $20. And then when it went on sale for Christmas, guess what? It was the same price as it had been all summer long. The price never dropped for Christmas sales. So, yeah, if you increase prices over the last 6 months and now you drop them where they were 6 months ago, yes, technically you're dropping the price on 3,000 items. But number one, you could drop a price of something by a nickel and you've lowered a price on that item. But is it really significant to the consumer?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Okay, so I see another story here. Just for instance, of course, pop-up ad. Kraft mac and cheese.
Okay.
Lowered it 30 cents. That's decent, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Down to $1.69 from $1.99. Good and Gather Honeycrisp apples.
Yeah.
Lowered that price $1 to $5.99.
Mm-hmm.
Over-the-counter medicine, baby supplies. They've dropped prices on that. There's Up and Up, which is their Target brand, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cold and flu syrup. That went from $9.19 down to $6.59. So that's a pretty significant drop.
Well, if
there.
That's the in-house brand, quite honestly, my opinion, that should be at that $6 range because, granted, I shop more at Walmart than Target. And normally you've got the name brand, the NyQuil or whatever. They're cold medicines. That's the more expensive one.
They're pretty steep, yeah, depending
on
what you're
looking at. But then
you look at
the Great Value or Equate brand or whatever they got at Walmart, and it's like $5 or $6. So it is a significant difference.
Yep.
But, I mean, your in-house brands can't be a dollar cheaper than the name brand. They need to be $2 or $3 cheaper for people to go to them because that's normally what I get. I don't get the name brand to leave. I get the you know, knockoff brand there at the store.
It just depends what I'm buying. Like I said, for baking, there's certain things, certain, you know, brands that I want to use.
Certain brands that are better based on the fact that they are a name brand. They're more trusted.
Yep, but like, like ibuprofen, acetaminophen, my allergy pills, I will do the store brand on that because you can save a lot of money.
Absolutely can.
Certain, I mean, just certain foods or whatever, certain off brands are totally fine.
Yep.
But the baking thing, I hold my ground on. Bark especially, that one, just I've bought off brands before and I've just been disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain things, like you said, that if you get the knockoff brand, is it fine? Sure. But it's not quite the same quality.
But sometimes it's just as good.
Well, exactly.
Like those Walmart Great Value chips, they taste just as good as Lay's.
Well, and, you know, a lot of times, like, say, for example, now my wife is one that can eat plain potato chips and enjoy them.
You don't like plain chips?
Well, no, I think they need to have a dip if you're going to have plain chips. If you're going to have other chips, then if they're flavored. But there is a difference, say, for example, between Great Value Doritos style and the actual Doritos because they're not quite as crispy. They're a little bit they're a little different.
I was talking mainly like the flavored chips, like the barbecue or the plain.
Sure, and stuff. We don't really eat a ton of those. I usually hold out for like Sun chips or maybe some of the other brands, Lay's or whatever, Fritos brands and stuff that you have there. But like tortilla chips, you can get cheaper tortilla chips, especially because most times when you have tortilla chips, you're either crunching up, putting them in, say, tortilla soup. You're using guacamole or salsa or a queso or something. So
Costco has some really good ones.
Yeah, and they do, and they're huge bags. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I stay away from them because I'm like, we're not going to use this many chips.
in a timely manner, they're going to go stale. So that's why I want the smaller bags.
I guess it's upon all of us to price shop and compare and watch for the sales.
Everything's
expensive.
That's why a lot of times there will be times that I overspend at Costco, but you go there needing X, Y, and Z, and you buy other stuff because it is on sale for $3 off a box or whatever. Yep. Now, granted, I realize you're buying in bulk, but there's a lot of times stuff is on sale that you normally buy. Even some of our dog's favorite treats, like these chicken nubs that she gets, if they're on sale for $6 off a bag,
absolutely,
well, then we'll get two.
Right.
If the Cosequin, which is like the glucosamine for dogs, right? Those go on sale because they're normally like $36 a bottle or whatever. If those go on sale for $25 a bottle, you got to buy two of them, mm-hmm, because you're saving $20 now.
You bet. Exactly what I do too. All right. It is 6:32. You are hanging out with Bonnie and friends on WDAY Radio. 6:33, couple of nice days ahead before we cool off for the weekend. We are looking for sunshine today, 55 for our high temp. Winds will be out of the south-southeast, 5 to 10, 34 the overnight low. Tomorrow, sunny, breezy, warmer, 63 our high temp. South winds 10 to 20, low of 40. Saturday, partly sunny, breezy, chance of showers, cooler, high of 44. Northwest winds 15 to 25, overnight low right around 25. Sunday, partly sunny, high of 42. We do have rain in our forecast Monday and Tuesday, but Monday through Wednesday, we will see highs in the 40s. Right now, it's partly cloudy. We have 27 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. Our winds are out of the south-southeast, 5 miles an hour.
All right, time is now 6:34. We got to check on your national news from ABC. And when we return, a sports update from our sports director, Big Game James McCarty.
6:39. WDAY Sports Director Big Game James McCarty is here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Last night in college basketball, it was mostly men's hoops that we had on the docket, with North Dakota State rolling St. Scholastica 111-38. Minnesota, they were down by 2 at the half in Missouri. They were outscored by 21 in the second half. They fall 83-60. Nico Medved, he's figuring things out with his roster. And I mean, there's a handful of newcomers, a couple of guys that have been on the roster previously. Missouri's have a good start, though. They're 4-0 now.
Oh, okay.
The Tigers are. So for whatever reason, they're having a great start in the non-conference for them. I don't know what their schedule looked like prior to Minnesota, but they won all of them. Valley City State defeated Dakota Wesleyan 88-84. Concordia College would edge up Minnesota Morris 79-74. In women's hoops, just one matchup last night. That was Concordia College taking down Minnesota Morris. Pretty dominating fashion, 85-56 in that ball game. In EDC volleyball tonight, a couple of loser out matches. You have Shanley hosting Red River. The winner of that one will go to a state play-in match on Saturday at 11 a.m. at Shanley. The loser of their season comes to an end. Then Fargo North will host Fargo South. The winner of that one will play in a state play-in match at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. The loser season comes to an end. In the winner's bracket, you're guaranteed another match. If you win this one, you're in the state tournament fighting for a one seed. If you lose this one, you're going to a state play-in match on Saturday. West Fargo Cheyenne hosting West Fargo Horace. And then Jason and I tonight on WDAY Radio will be at Fargo Davies as the top-seeded Eagles battle the four-seeded Packers. And so that'll be a great matchup. All four of those matches, their first serve is scheduled for 6 o'clock here this evening. With it being playoff volleyball, no JV or C-squad prior, so they push along those varsity start times to just a little bit earlier in the evening. And so for those who are working up until that time, if you're looking to catch the match and you can't get off of work early, well, WDAY Radio will have all the score updates along with the coverage of Davies and West Fargo High here this evening. Class A Region 1 Championship Volleyball tonight. Top-seeded Oak Grove battling 3-seed Central Cass. That first serve is at 7 o'clock this evening. That's at Valley City High School for the right to go to the Class A State Tournament. That'll be also in Bismarck at the Bismarck Event Center beginning next Thursday afternoon. And the rest of the week here on WDAY Radio, we got a ton of stuff for you. Not only do we have high school volleyball coverage tonight, but tomorrow is when things get real busy. You have Primetime Sports tomorrow night at 6:30. Kevin Marshall, host of FCS Nation, gets us our weekly update in college football. Then at 7 o'clock, it's a half-hour pregame show with Steve Hallstrom on the pregame for it, for Spud football taking on Lakeville South. The kickoff at 7:30 in the state semifinals of the 6A bracket with Larry Knutson on the call. Half hour postgame once that one goes final. Then on Saturday afternoon, Cobber football at Carlton to wrap up their 2025 campaign. Larry Knutson will be on the call for that one. 12 p.m. kickoff for that game. Over on our sister station, The Flag, on Friday night, Dakota Bowl coverage in the 3A division. The top seed out of the East, Fargo Davies, battling the top seed out of the West in Bismarck Century. That's a 6:30 kickoff between the Eagles and Patriots in that matchup. Then on Saturday afternoon, Minnesota State Moorhead, the Dragons, head to Mankato to take on the Mavericks. 11 a.m. pregame with a noon kickoff for that bout as they wrap up NSIC play. A win for the Mavericks would punch their ticket all but certainly to the national tournament. A win for the Dragons, and the committee is going to have a tough weekend. That's the easiest way to put it. They can create a lot of chaos overall. Additionally, one final thing I note, just to make sure I remember it today. The Gophers in football, they're at Oregon this weekend. It's a Friday night 8 p.m. kickoff on Fox. It's the Big Ten Fox kickoff, whatever they call it,
so
evening game.
So they're going to be in our pick six,
I imagine? So the pick six will end early tomorrow.
Okay.
It'll open at 8 a.m. It'll close at 8 p.m. tomorrow, the pick six.
Oh.
Yep. So just as a heads up to that.
What time is that game started?
8 p.m.
Jeez.
Well, it's out west.
I guess. It's
so it's a 6 o'clock
night,
in Oregon, but it's, I think, right? There's daylight savings and making only, I forget how that works.
No. I don't know.
It's still
it's 3 hours or so.
No,
that's why we have you to keep us straight on stuff.
It's still the same.
Isn't there like two or three states that don't do daylight savings?
There are.
Yeah, but not along the West Coast. California, Oregon, Washington are all Pacific time zone. They're always 2 hours behind.
It's a different country out there. I don't deal with it. The fact that they're trying to fight and
is it 2 hours difference or is it like 3 or 4? I don't know.
Well, I didn't know if
it
was only an hour. I have no idea anymore.
Arizona.
The fact that the Big Ten is going from the East Coast to the West Coast, even though it originally was Midwest schools, it drives me absolutely
out. Arizona is the one state mainly.
Yeah, I was pretty
close. Is it just Arizona that doesn't change?
Yeah, living in Arizona was nice because I never had to mess with my clocks. This whole fallback. The fallback is great.
It wasn't that far off. I don't know why you're giving me grief.
Because Oregon is not anywhere near Arizona.
It's much closer than Ohio is to the Midwest. I'll tell you that.
Well, that's because Ohio's not really Midwest. That's a whole other debate that I've had with people.
I had to throw that out there.
Yeah, I just
Sports This Hour brought to you by Prairie Supply. Contact the concrete experts at Prairie Supply Contractors Headquarters. For more info, go to prairiesupply.com.
Steph Curry also broke a new record, too. Most 45-point games by a point guard in NBA history has surpassed Michael Jordan and LeBron James.
Well, Michael Jordan and LeBron James were not point guards.
Mm. Oh, they're on this list. There's two different lists here.
That's up for
he
debate.
He scored his 73rd 40-plus point game, and then it says he surpassed Michael Jordan and LeBron James for most games with 45-plus points on 70% plus TS fire. What does that mean?
True shooting percentage?
I don't know.
What was the initials again?
TS fire. They got a fire symbol. I don't know what that means.
On 70% plus, that's probably your true shooting percentage, which... It's a stat. I don't know how it's figured, but it's like combining your free throw, your two-point, and your three-point percentages all together.
There's so many different ways they can look at different things.
Every year, there's a new type of analytic you can use and determine how good a player is. But I think if you want to just – I mean, yeah, he's had more 40-point games than LeBron or Jordan, but – all three of them technically played different positions.
Yeah, and they're all good players.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Very, very, very good players.
Oh, I wanted to give a shout-out, too. This is super cool. I saw it on social media. Our friends over at Beverage Wholesalers last week gave the Fargo Memorial Honor Guard $5,000 check from their Miller High Life promotion. Remember we talked about that?
The High Life.
The money will help support the new Veterans Memorial Center at the National Cemetery.
Oh,
so
good.
Very
good.
Cool. Big shout-out there for our friends at Beverage Wholesalers. You have spent too long hiding your smile, avoiding photos, avoiding laughter, maybe even avoiding life. At Dakota Implant and Sedation Center, that changes in just one day. They have same-day smile transformations, help you walk in with hesitation, and you walk out with confidence.
With gentle sedation, a compassionate team, and flexible financing, they remove every barrier between you and the smile you deserve. Call Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo or visit DakotaImplant.com. Don't wait. to smile like you mean it.
We have tickets to give away. Fargo Force game for Saturday night. Friday tickets are gone. This is for Saturday night. If you haven't won anything in the past month and you want to go check out the Fargo Force, they are hosting Youngstown Phantoms. Be caller 4 and 6 right now, 701-293-9000. 647 coming up, 656 this morning, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to showcase this artist. He had a number one hit on this date in 1976. The song features whispers from his then actress girlfriend. Find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback. Okay, I got to go. I got to answer the phone.
Congratulations to Jared and Kim for winning tickets to Saturday night's Fargo Force game. Remember, folks, those tickets can be picked up between now and Friday, 8 to 4:30. And then, obviously, make sure you remember the Fargo Force game on Saturday. Puck drop is at 6:05, an hour earlier than Friday. It was on this date in 1982. This band started a 15-week run at number one with their debut album. We'll find out who that was and what album it was coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback.
A couple of nice days ahead here. We are looking for some warmer temps today. Sunny, 55 for our high. Winds will be out of the south-southeast, 5 to 10, 34 for our overnight low. Tomorrow, pick day of the week, sunshine. Dino calling for breezy conditions, 63 our high. Winds out of the south at 10 to 20, overnight low around 40. We'll start to cool back off into more seasonable temps here for the weekend. Partly sunny, breezy on Saturday. Chance of showers, just a slight chance of that. 44 for the high. Northwest winds 15 to 25, 25 our overnight low. Sunday, partly sunny, 42 for the high. Looks like a chance of rain Monday, Tuesday, Monday through Wednesday. We will see highs in the 40s. Right now, it is mostly clear. We have 29 degrees at our WDAY radio studios. High top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the south, southeast, 6 miles an hour.
Weather's brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. Time now is 7:03. We've got to check on your national news. We come back, a sports update from Big Game James McCarty, and then Chef and Hunter Jeff Benda will join us to talk about cooking deer steak.
Hunter Chef Jeff Benda is going to be joining us shortly. He's brought in a dangerous-looking tool. I know what it is. Jace knew what it was. James was confused. You got to get your deer first before you use a tool like that, buddy.
I've seen a mallet
That's
version
up for debate still, Bonnie.
We've already heard the story. Some people believe me. Some people don't. Regardless, based off what happened, I'm deer hunting this weekend.
And
so that'll tell you what
success.
Happened. More or less, with less detail than more. EDC volleyball tournament here this evening. We have the loser out matches. That's Shanley hosting Red River. The winner of that one will go to a state play-in match on Saturday. Fargo North hosting Fargo South. Same with that. The winner will go to a state play-in match on Saturday. In the semifinals, the winner's bracket, West Fargo Cheyenne hosting West Fargo Horace, and then Fargo Davies hosting West Fargo High. We'll be at the Davies and West Fargo matchup this evening, 6 p.m. It was the first serve for all four of those matches. Jason and I will have full coverage on WDAY Radio. We'll get you score updates from all the four of those matches, but we'll have full match coverage of the Eagles and Packers for the right to go to that EDC championship match on Saturday afternoon. Class A Region 1 championship matches tonight. That's top-seeded Oak Grove battling 3-seed Central Cass. 7 p.m. will be the first serve of that one at Valley City High. College hoops last night saw in men's basketball, North Dakota State rolling St. Scholastica 111-38, Minnesota falling to Missouri 83-60, VCSU defeating Dakota Wesleyan 88-84, and Concordia edging out Minnesota Morris 79-74. In women's hoops, just one matchup last night. That was Concordia dominating Minnesota Morris 85-56. And as I'd mentioned tonight, right here on WDAY Radio, 6 p.m. is the first serve of Fargo Davies and West Fargo High in an EDC volleyball semifinals bout for the right to punch an automatic ticket into next weekend's state tournament at the Bismarck Event Center. Sports this hour brought to you by Sun Electric, deeply rooted in the Midwest with a reputation built on performance. If you have an electrical problem, they have the power to solve it online at sunelectricnd.com.
Hunter Chef Jeff Benda joining us in studio. I see Minnesota DNR says Hunter shot more deer during opening weekend of firearms season than they did the first 2 days of season last year. James was not included in the hunters that were successful. He failed. He had a trophy buck, and then he had decided to answer a work call that day.
I just...
Turn your ringer off, right, Jeff?
I just...
You can't even, can you?
I've been coming in here a few years.
Yes, you have.
Oh, man.
And there's something wrong
there's
with
him. There's a theme. There's a theme of sad hunting stories mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. I think this guy needs to move to North Dakota and try it on this side of the river, maybe change his luck, eat a liverwurst and onion sandwich on
that's
deer
it.
Opener.
Yeah.
That's like,
that's
my
tradition.
Lucky thing.
I think he needs to go out with you next year or something.
I think, yeah. Or, no, I think next year he needs to start following the true expert hunter, someone who knows exactly what they're doing, who can show you what to do, and that's going to be Lucia.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who's in studio with us. She gets to start. Yep. She gets to hunt.
You get to hunt next year,
do you
year,
want to
right?
tell them the big news? Do you have to wait until next fall to do your first deer hunt?
No.
No. What do you get to do?
I get to go to Alabama with my dad and get to shoot 2 does a day.
What?
She can shoot up to 2 does a day. Yeah.
How are you with the gun?
Yeah, Alabama.
Are you pretty good with the gun?
I don't know.
We don't know yet.
Does she
so my cousin Bobby
training? No.
So we're doing hunter safety in January.
Bobby from Alabama.
Doesn't everybody have a cousin Bobby in Alabama?
Probably.
No, I've been down there hunting, and she knows Bobby, and he's a great guy.
Funny too.
And he's super funny, and lets her run around and drive things that she shouldn't probably be driving that young. Yeah. But
that's how you learn, though.
Yeah, but no, it's really great. So he invited us down. He's got a lease, a deer lease. That's kind of how things happen down in the southern states. And so that's when the rut there, like it's kind of happening up here, but down there, it's like first week in February.
Oh, okay.
So she's going to take Lucia turns 11 next year, so she can take hunter safety right away in January.
Oh.
The year she turns 11, so we're going to take hunter safety, and we're going to go practice at an indoor range, mm-hmm. and so she's going to get lots of practice in. And then we're going to go down to Alabama, which will be, you know, they hunt out of stands there, so actually for her first time, not having to deal with a running deer or something like that. I've been there, so I know the stands. I know the area. It's going to be warm, mm-hmm. and which is good for a child's first hunt.
Right.
And then, then we can shoot. We can shoot 2 does.
She
each
can or
every
we
day.
Can.
We can't. She doesn't. This is Alabama.
So it's not
The child doesn't even. They don't. You don't even need a license. Until
really?
You're 16.
Oh, wow.
You don't even need a hunting license. She can just go down there and start shooting deer.
Can you take little Jimmy with you, too?
Maybe. I don't know if I want to be in a car for 22 hours each way.
It's
maybe.
20 each way.
20 each way.
I'm telling you this.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. Anyway, we can move on to cooking steak, but we're pretty excited.
So what did you bring in? It looks like a tenderizer of some sort.
Yeah, so this is a Jacquard meat tenderizer. I talk about it every single steak recipe. I have 34 different venison steak recipes at wildgameandfish.com, and every single one starts with tenderize the steak with a Jacquard meat tenderizer. You can
Are
find
you
them for
money off this or what?
No, I should, but I you can get them. There is a link on the website, so maybe like if you click on that one, maybe I get a little tiny kickback from Amazon, but you can find them on Amazon for about $20 up to $30, depending on the kind. But there's little needles in it.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the difference? Because James didn't know, and he goes, I've only seen the hammer one.
Yeah. So the meat mallet, you're going to flatten your steak. Mm-hmm. You're just going to pound the heck out of it to tenderize it. This holds its form more. So you're kind of going over it. It's got a bunch of needles. Like this one has 48 needles, and you're pressing down on it. And then they have a few different models, but this is great. So it tenderizes. It's you're basically puncturing and you're tenderizing that steak. It's just absolutely phenomenal.
You use it every time you're making steak.
Every single time I do steak.
Otherwise,
I process deer and elk. I'm not offering my services. Sorry, folks. But I do a few for some people every year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I always, every time before I package it, before I put it in the vacuum sealer, I'm going over it. So I let it rest for a few days. So I let it go in the deer, elk, whatever. I let it go into rigor and back out of rigor, giving it a few days, and then go over all the steaks and the roasts with this Jacquard meat tenderizer. And it just makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to that, I've got something similar. It's a smaller one. It's more of a circle-based one.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Now, when it comes to that meat tenderizer, are you only, I mean, do you do this too, like if you have a beefsteak or anything like that?
I don't know, we don't eat beef, but yes. Okay. Oh, yeah, because I was giving a talk at UMary and to some, you know, they're college students, so they're poor. Mm-hmm. And she said, and I gave them this, and I showed them this, and I was serving some steak. I was doing a cooking demonstration. And this young gal walked up to me, a poor sophomore, and she said, is there any way that would work on cheap beef steak?
Yeah.
Could I go to the grocery store and buy it because I can't afford to get good steak? And I said, yeah, you should be able to try that. And she did, and she actually she sent me a message and said it worked.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that it's a great kitchen tool. It's not that expensive. I mean, Black Friday sale, you know, people are kind of shopping for Christmas and stocking stuffers or gifts. That this would, I would say this is the number one gift for hunters who are processing their own steaks, who are processing their own meat, or even, you know.
And it's a forever gift. It'll last forever.
Oh, yeah.
It's well built.
Yeah, it's super great. Mm. Yeah, it's absolutely super great.
You need to tell us more because last week before you left, you mentioned something about smoked venison backstrap.
Yes.
Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so that's the latest recipe. If you go to the website, wildgameandfish.com, that's the latest one that we did. I post a new recipe every Tuesday, and that one was great. So when you're dealing with smoked venison, this was the backstrap, and you can do this with antelope, you can do this with deer, it doesn't really matter with your elk. But so, again, I start off with going over it with a Jacquard meat tenderizer, kind of get your smoker going, and then I put a very simple rub, like salt, pepper, garlic powder, right?
Okay.
Like nothing, like maybe a little rosemary. Like you want to just complement the venison.
Okay.
And then what you do, you want to get a nice crust on it. So just we went out to dinner last night with some friends. And so everybody, some of the guys got steak. And I mean, they had this beautiful, nice crust on the steak, right? So you want that restaurant quality steak. It's the Maillard reaction. So you're going to hit, before you put it in the smoker, you're going to take your steak, season it, and then you're going to hit it with a really hot pan, like a cast iron skillet, like super hot. Mm-hmm. And you're going to put a nice sear on it, just put a little oil, and then you're going to hit it with the pan and get just 1 minute per side.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you get that nice crust.
Make sure that pan is really hot.
Yep. You want that pan really hot before the meat hits the pan. And then just 1 minute on each side, you're going to get that nice crust on it. And then you're going to move it to the smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, depending on what temperature you're going to do, but it only takes about 45 minutes in the smoker. And then it's done. And then you let it rest.
Yep.
And then you slice it, and it's this beautiful, I mean, if you go to the website and see the photo, it's this beautiful rosy picture. It's just a great, amazing.
Good.
Yeah. Melissa packed the leftovers for lunch. Yeah.
That's a good sign, right?
Yeah.
When your wife steals all of the leftovers and doesn't leave any.
Well, she knows you know how to make more.
She does. Yeah, that's true. So I'm scrambling for lunch trying to figure out what I'm going to
cook. You're on your own. She's got life figured out here with lunch.
But that's a really nice and easy one, and it's also a great presentation. And here's the thing, too. If you look at the picture of how it is, it's a bigger piece. So before everybody goes out, maybe you're in the same boat as James and you haven't shot your deer yet. A lot of people go out. As soon as you get your backstrap, they butterfly them. They're cutting them into small pieces and butterflying them. Just think of the presentation. If you look at most of the steaks that are on the website, I cut them into maybe pieces like 8 inches. So like maybe out of one deer backstrap, cut it into thirds and cut it into three sections, maybe about 7 to 8 inches long.
Okay.
And then that's what you're cooking. Like keep it whole because then when you go to slice it, because then you can feed your family of two or three, or maybe you want to cut it in half and make it a nice bigger piece. That's a great presentation than like for Thanksgiving or for Christmas. You can do, you know, that gives you more options later. So I just highly recommend when people freeze before you know, maybe don't butterfly your steaks this year. Mm-hmm. Keep your venison backstrap in like a chunk. Yeah, like the whole loin. you can cut it in half, and that's going to fit in a vacuum seal bag or something like that. Or maybe you need to cut it in thirds. But then that gives you more options to do something like this.
34 venison steak recipes on your wildgameandfish.com website.
Yeah.
Incredible. Step up your game, all you people out there that are yeah. deer hunting here.
I think one of the favorites, too, I know Lucia has one of the favorite things that we did was the steak frite. Now, you're going to see if it's spelled frite, like F-R-I-T-E-S, mm-hmm. steak. It looks like steak frites, but it's the S is silent. It's French. Mm-hmm. So it's steak frite. I was doing a dinner, this is a year ago now, and it was a fundraiser dinner, a private dinner in somebody's house, and Steve Scheel was there. And so I had served this steak frite to the guests, and he walked up to me afterwards and he said, "This is the greatest venison steak recipe I've ever eaten." And that was a huge compliment coming
from Steve.
And then he said, what was funny is everybody else had cleared their plate. And he said, but then he whispered to me afterwards, and I got to tell the story because it's funny. He said, "Did you notice when you cleared the plates, the lady across from me hadn't eaten her whole piece of steak?" I said, "I did see that." He goes, "Do you know how hard it was for me not to ask her for that piece?" Because it was so good. And that's literally steak and French fries.
Yeah.
That's what I served. Yeah. And it's literally, once you get the French fries really nice and hot, and you can do them in the oven or you can do them in the fryer, and you put them in a metal bowl. And you'll see this at steak restaurants. Put it in the metal bowl, and then you toss it with the salt, the pepper, maybe some garlic powder, and some fresh parsley or maybe some rosemary. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It was super simple seasoning on that steak frite. They serve it at steak restaurants all the time. But it's steak and French fries, and the kids are going to love it. Lucia loves it. Her favorite sides for steaks are what? What's your top?
Mashed potatoes and French fries.
Mashed potatoes and French fries.
Well, when we were over in Greece, almost all the meals came with fries, so it's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great dish. We do some vegetables, maybe some green beans or some asparagus, do a potato. But yeah, just keep it super simple. Season your steaks with salt and pepper and maybe a little bit of something. But I just really encourage people, you know, when we talk about marinades, when I do a marinade, it's literally salt, pepper, some garlic, and olive oil. And maybe some rosemary in there.
You said, keep it simple.
Yeah, like a super high acid, like a wine or some vinegars or lemon juice. It just really takes away from the flavors. You can do it, but when you do, just make sure it's not very long.
Sometimes simple is best. Yeah. Wildgameandfish.com. Jeff has 34 venison recipes, steak recipes, and many more others there. Go ahead and then like and follow him, too, and you can get those recipes sent to your inbox every Tuesday, correct?
Every Tuesday morning, yeah. Sign up for the newsletter, and then we do a knife giveaway every month. I just emailed out the winner yesterday for this month's latest winner. So That was somebody out in New York. Sorry, New York State won it this month. Sorry.
Very nice. Yeah. All right. Jeff, Lucia, thank you. We'll catch you guys next week.
Yeah, sounds good.
You bet. Hunter Chef Jeff Benda. Again, you can find him wildgameandfish.com. It is 7:33, the prized black chicken. I don't know if the meat is black or the feathers are black, but WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel has details straight ahead.
7:25, we head out to the farm to talk with Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Good morning, Bridget. How are you doing?
I am fabulous. Hopefully you as well.
So, okay. A prized black chicken.
Well, here we are. You know, it's coming up on Thanksgiving. All of us are thinking about that golden turkey, how delightful it'll be. Perfect coloration.
Sometimes I think about a turducken, to be honest, but I haven't had one of those yet.
Well, I haven't had one of those yet. Sometimes I just envision a lovely prime rib as well. All sorts of good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an Indonesian breed. It is an all black chicken. That means meat, bones, the combs. So instead of seeing like the red comb on the top of a chicken's head, everything is black.
Mm-hmm.
And so its name, a yam Semani, so A-Y-A-M. Second word is C-E-M-A-N-I. I hear you all typing it.
I already see it.
So breeding stock costs thousands of dollars, and even the baby chicks can be $100 a piece.
Wow.
It looks super, super cool, but I know like duck meat is dark, but goose, I don't think I want to eat black chicken.
I'm guessing.
Have you never had blackened chicken before?
That's different.
Different type of chicken.
Different type. Different
Somebody
type.
Overcooked it and they just called it blackened chicken.
Eggs are black too.
Yep, they have very dark shelled.
So is their sole.
Probably. They have one splayed on a plate here and it's just like all black and it's got, you know how you spatchcock a chicken?
Yes. Yeah.
It
yes.
looks gross.
So it's, I would say, an acquired vision. Mm-hmm. The taste is likely the same. Now, yeah. interestingly enough, this breed has a duplicate gene for fibromelanosis, which causes nearly every cell in its body to produce the pigment melanin. And so these chickens tend to be kind of small. They're rather aloof, so they sound like a terrible cat. And they're prone to only laying one or two eggs a week, which is about 40% of what a standard laying hen.
So basically they're worthless, but it's a novelty. And if you want to add a little extra to your flock, there you go.
And they're an expensive novelty.
Yeah.
Yes. So now in Asia, some believe the bird it has mystical or medicinal powers.
Oh, my.
Mm. Yes.
Hmm.
So
the whole thing is interesting looking.
It is, and I can't hardly wait until all of our neighboring backyard chicken ranchers tell me that they are on the lookout for one and or brought one home, because then I want to dash over and see it. It's like when chicken pox arrives. Let's all go look at it. So here we are. We'll look for this chicken.
Interesting.
Okay. So throughout the fall, we always have to keep an eye on animals that are, we're moving them home. Is everybody healthy and safe? Well, sometimes we can see eye problems developing, especially now with weaning time. Strict calves are under a little bit of stress, et cetera. So one of the most common causes of pink eye is if there's an ulceration to the eye. So if they get a scratch or anything like that and bacteria are transmitted through direct contact of that eye drainage, flies have been known to carry it as well. But also sheep and goats can get pink eye as well. And even horses, now they get like a squinty, watery eye. That's when you need to call your veterinarian. Sometimes it's a simple irritation from pink eye, allergies, dust, but there can also be ulcers that develop in the eye. And when you have that ulcer, it needs to be removed versus treated, depending on how deeply it affects the eye for that animal. So not only are we looking for lameness when they walk, that type of thing, look at the eyes, make sure they're doing okay. And if needed, you can certainly bring out the veterinarian. There are actually ophthalmologists who work in livestock as well. I don't have one handy, but I guess if there's one out there, somebody let me know.
Will find them.
We'll find them. So government shutdown should be ending. That means that we'll start getting some of our livestock reports back that we haven't had for well over 40 days now. And services that were not affected by the government shutdown, one of them includes U.S. Department of Ag graders and inspectors for Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service and the Food Safety and Inspection Service. So they kept functioning, making sure that we were not seeing contamination, that we did not see items coming across the border that we don't want, such as that New World screwworm, African swine fever, more bird influenza, which there's only so much we're going to do with bird influenza. Bonnie, you shared a story the other day. It's the migratory waterfowl right now that we're going to see a spike in more bird flu happening in commercial operations. But also there's a bovine tuberculosis out there that we want to make sure has not changed during this government shutdown time frame. So farmers and ranchers not only rely on what they do, but also with what's going on at USDA's Farm Service Agency. Those folks will likely be back to work very soon. So some of the programming that we're doing, whether it's for conservation and more, we can start visiting with those people very quickly. So things are turning around. They're kind of coming back somewhat to normal. I don't know. I don't really know that normal is a great term anymore. But we are getting some action out of the government agencies that we need. So I just wanted to share that. When you have questions, you can reach out to me, ag@flagfamily.com. Today for Weather and Ag in Focus, well, there's a few things going on. Madison Nord, she is with the Barnesville FFA chapter. She's going to give us a call to explain their donkey basketball game that's coming up on Monday. I don't know if you've been called to do commentary on this or not, Jace.
No, but we actually had, I remember one time my dad was actually a participant in the donkey basketball game we had at my high school. So I've seen it firsthand before, and quite honestly, it is hilarious.
It's cool, yeah.
I've never seen one. I've also been warned by several people to stay off the critters, so we'll see. And then also Levi Reese, who is an FFA advisor, but also part of the Grand Forks a Career and Technology Academy. He's going to give us a call to explain a little bit more about what is that and how can that be of interest to students in the region. So we're going to talk all about Ag Ed today. And again, you can email me ag@flagfamily.com.
Thank you, Bridget.
Have a great day.
All right. We're going to be drawing our winner for a family four packet of tickets to Freedom Matters USA Charlie Kirk Tribute this Saturday, Fargo Holiday Inn with Fox News host Brian Kilmeade and Jimmy Failla. We'll be drawing our winner within the half hour, so if you do want to go to that, you can still get your email in, studio@wdayradionow.com. Dino calling for sunshine today, 55 our high temp, with winds out of the south-southeast 5 to 10, overnight low around 34. Warmer tomorrow, sunny, little breezy, but not bad, 63 for the high, south winds 10 to 20. Low of 40. Saturday, partly sunny and breezy. Chance of showers. It will be cooler. 44 for the high temp. Northwest winds 15 to 25. Sunday, partly sunny. 42 for the high. Highs Monday through Wednesday in the 40s. And it looks like Monday and Tuesday, a chance we could see some showers. 30% chance of that. Right now, it is partly cloudy, partly sunny. Sun's coming up. 29 degrees at our WDAY radio studios. High atop I-29 in South Fargo. Wind south-southeast 6 miles an hour.
I think it depends if you're an optimist or a pessimist.
That is very true.
The weather is sponsored by Jiffy Lube of Fargo. Locally owned and operated with 3 Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can car more. Time is now 7:34. We're going to check on your national news from ABC when we return. A sports update from Big Game James McCarty, and still to come, your 3-degree guarantee.
7:37, Big Game James McCarty is here now with your WDAY Radio Sports.
We're a positive bunch around here, so yeah, we're going to look on the upside of things.
Okay, what do you got?
The Minnesota Vikings, yesterday afternoon, opened up the 21-day practice window for their starting center, Ryan Kelly, yesterday afternoon. He had suffered a second concussion in the matter of only a couple of weeks back in week 4 on the season, so the Vikings put him on the injured reserve list while he was recovering from that. So the Vikings now have 21 days to place him either on their active roster or on the injured reserve for the remainder of the season. That's how that 21-day practice window works. So he played in only 3 games since signing with the Vikings this past spring, and there's a possibility that I wouldn't anticipate this weekend, but there's always a possibility, maybe next weekend, with him out there that by Thanksgiving, maybe the Vikings will have their anticipated starting five on the offensive line out there.
Easy.
For the first time all year.
Don't sound so positive there. That's a little weird.
Could you imagine the first time our starting five that we anticipated in training camp being out there together would be on the week of Thanksgiving? And that is a possibility where it literally is the week of Thanksgiving, which would be, what, week 12, week 13, somewhere? Jeez. Yeah, that's I'm staying optimistic. I think it could happen here before December.
Hey, there you go.
4 EDC tournament volleyball matches tonight. A couple of loser out matches with Shanley hosting Red River, North hosting South, West Fargo Cheyenne in the winner's bracket hosting West Fargo Horace for the right to go to the EDC championship match on Saturday. And then Fargo Davies hosting West Fargo High also in the winner's bracket. Jason and I will be at Davies for that matchup between the Eagles and Packers tonight. 6 p.m. for all 4 matches as the first serve. And we'll get you updates on all those other matches along with full match play-by-play coverage of Davies and West Fargo High. Additionally, we have in the Class A Region 1 Championship, it's top-seeded Oak Grove against 3-seed Central Cat. 7 p.m. is the first serve tonight. That's at Valley City High School for that match. High school... Oh, excuse me. That wraps up high school for us for the night. College. There we go. College basketball last night. We had men's basketball. North Dakota State rolled St. Scholastica 111-38. Minnesota falling to Missouri 83-60. Valley City State defeats Dakota Wesleyan 88-84. Concordia College edged out Minnesota Morris 79-74. And women's hoops, just one matchup. That was Concordia taking down Minnesota Morris 85-56. The rest of the week here on our family of stations, as I had mentioned, EDC volleyball tonight. Well, Friday night, we'll have primetime sports where we're joined at 6:30 by Kevin Marshall, host of FCS Nation, for our weekly look around the subdivision of Division I college football. Then at 7 o'clock, it's a 30-minute pregame show for that Minnesota 6A state semifinals matchup between Moorhead and Lakeville South. 7:30 is the kickoff. Larry Knutson has full game coverage for that one for you. And then a half-hour postgame with Steve Hallstrom as well once that one wraps up. Saturday afternoon, cover football at Carlton at noon to wrap up their 2025 campaign with Larry Knutson on the call for that matchup. Over on our sister station, The Flag, a couple of great football matchups the rest of the week as well. Dakota Bowl coverage on Friday night. We have the 3A championship, Fargo-Davies hosting, well, I guess technically it's a neutral site, but it's in Fargo. Fargo-Davies battling Bismarck Century. 6:30 is the kickoff for that one. Jason and I on the call over on our sister station, The Flag. Also on The Flag on Saturday afternoon, Minnesota State Moorhead, the Dragons, head to Mankato to take on the Mavericks. And that'll be an 11 a.m. pregame, a noon kickoff. Great player conversations in that pregame as well at beginning at 11 a.m. Nick Haugrud, starting center for the Dragons. Tyson Brandt, one of two 100-yard rushers for the Dragons a week ago in the backfield. And then you also hear from Micah Runyon, a defensive back who has really emerged as a great depth piece on the Dragon defense this season. And head coach Steve Lockway will give his pregame coach's comments as well. We're looking forward to all of that the rest of the week on our family of stations. And then on Sunday, I'll go deer hunting.
Yeah, there you go.
And Monday. And maybe if I get desperate, I'll tell you guys I'm hunting Tuesday,
you
too.
Can't
I haven't
come
gotten
back
that
until
far.
You get your deer.
He'll never come
I'm
back
I'm going to say
then.
That. No. I like this. I'm just going to shoot a
can
text.
Can you bring Cody with you, Paul Bunyan,
I'm just
the lumberjack?
Take
Cody will help you be successful.
If he had the time off of work, I could, because, you know, obviously we need to take time off of work at this point, or at least for myself, to do it. But I'll just text HR. Bonnie said, I can't come back. Good luck.
It could be 6 years.
See you in the next 2 weeks, question mark.
But you're not going to get a paycheck, FYI.
Well, then I'll have to come back. You know what? I'll work remotely.
There you go.
Good luck with that.
All should be able to, right? Not just some.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Sports This Hour brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
7:42 coming up tomorrow morning, Flatland Music Flashback. We do at 6:56 each and every morning, and it is brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We are going to be showcasing this boy band. Over 1,000 of their fans had to get medical treatment at a riot at one of their concerts over in Berlin, Germany. That's crazy.
What year was that?
Well, it's not the Beatles. It's in the 90s. Yeah, kind of narrows it down a little bit. But also, a white pair of boots worn by Elvis during his comeback TV appearance. He was singing a certain song. Those were on the auction block. We'll talk about that. Ray Charles, Queen, Michael Jackson, also on tomorrow's edition of Flatland Music Flashback. Your 3-degree guarantee with me coming up next.
7:45, time for your 3-degree guarantee brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
Oh, your mic is cutting out there.
Yesterday.
Yes.
We went. Oops, didn't mean to knock that over. Yesterday, Dean went 52, and the high yesterday was 51.
Okay.
So the streak is now at 12. Today it will end.
Today he's
on purpose. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe it'll be warmer than he thinks. Because he didn't update it this morning, but 55 is what he left me.
55. How do you feel about that number, Bonnie? Is it going to be right on?
I don't know. There's some sun out there, but there's some clouds. Yeah, I'd say.
Let's see. What does my watch say?
I bet it gets to be 54. That would be my guess. And I'm just guessing.
I mean, my watch claims it's going to be 54 today, but
really?
What do they know? Yeah, but we're talking it's got to be out at the Fargo International or Fargo Hector International Airport. So
we'll leave it.
We'll
at
see
55.
Because that's where it is. Sometimes it's a little different out there. So we're going with 55 today for your high for your 3-degree guarantee brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
It is 7:46. Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie and Amistati, Jace Denman and you. A couple of local regional stories here. Vandalism to a statue here in Fargo. And also a couple of daycare workers, owner and daycare worker in Jamestown facing felony charges. We'll talk about those stories and more coming up next. Good Thursday morning, 10 minutes in front of 8. You're hanging out with Bonnie Amistati, Jace Denman. We were just talking, both of us, in vandalism. It's just so senseless.
It is.
When you have a memorial on top of it and somebody vandalizes it, it's like, come on. There is a memorial in Island Park. It's the Angel of Hope statue, and it's for parents have a memorial site, parents who have lost children. It's a place for them, you know. And somebody took green spray paint and painted a couple different spots on the Angel of Hope statue.
Yeah, I mean, the hopefully they have something that they can use to scrub that off there and
it
remove
sounds
it.
Sounds like they're hoping that they'll be able to clean it up, yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just still. I just don't know. I mean, let's say hypothetically you see pumpkins on somebody's front porch. Yeah, there's probably always a party who's like, oh, it'd be fun to smash a pumpkin because they're hollow on the inside, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. But they're not yours and they're not on your front step, so leave it alone.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And something like that, especially what the statue is made for. Mm-hmm. I mean, heaven forbid any parent have to bury their child.
No doubt.
And then you're just going to spray paint this because, you know, you can. I mean, it's lame.
Put a green X over the word hope in two places. But they are hoping to clean it up, and they have a candlelight memorial service on Saturday, December 6th at 7 p.m. And then a crazy story out of Jamestown. Our partners over at Valley News Live, two women who operated this Jamestown daycare are facing felony charges. It looks like an investigation has revealed, caught on camera, physical abuse of children and apparently giving children melatonin to make them fall asleep during nap time. It's Lil Explorers Daycare. Karen Shemp, 41 years of age, 33-year-old Kaylee Cumber, facing felony counts of child neglect or abuse in connection with these incidents. Apparently, Shemp took her 8-year-old to the hospital with a head contusion.
Mm-hmm.
She blamed the employee for the injury. So, you know, police obviously were called in. They looked at surveillance. They saw Cumber dragging a 4-year-old boy from the arm roughly. She also reportedly slapped the child in the face loud enough to be heard on the video that police reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, Shemp, was present at the time on video, it says. Another video shows a child forcibly having food removed from their mouth on two occasions. Cumber can be seen slapping that same child in the mouth on a video going back to April. They also interviewed some of the children, it looks like. A 6-year-old child told investigators that Miss K gives them treats after lunch, pointed to a bottle of ZQL melatonin gummies in a bathroom changing drawer. They also found some hidden in the kitchen. A former employee told investigators that Shemp gave all the kids melatonin after lunch to make them sleep during nap time. So disturbing.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where obviously this individuals, look, you shouldn't be running a daycare.
Nope.
I mean,
nothing to do with children.
If you can't take care of them, and obviously maybe this is how she took care of her own kids, but I mean, if that's how you take care of other people's kids, you just shouldn't be doing
it. You have no right to give any kind of medication to children unless it's approved and you have have this from the parents, from the doctor or whatever. That's one thing. But just because you don't want to deal with these kids and you want two hours to yourself to do whatever, that's sad.
Well, it is because you give the kids melatonin and hopefully they fall asleep for, like you said, at least 2 hours or something like that. Then you don't have to worry about trying to deal with these kids. I mean, that's kind of like, well, how about you just give them melatonin right when they get there and have them sleep for 8 hours and then feed them a snack before their parents show up? I mean, what's the difference? You know what I mean?
According to the Department of Health, Valley News Live says they've already submitted license revocation paperwork. This inspection took place back in April. During the visit, Shemp voluntarily surrendered the daycare license. All kids were picked up and the facility was shut down. Well, hopefully neither one is ever able to do daycare. It looks like they're both due in court coming up in December. All right, so your money in markets, new report suggesting a young home buyer crisis has hit the U.S. We will talk about that. Your money in markets are straight ahead. 7:58, checking out your money in markets. Opening bell rings this morning after stocks closed out the day yesterday, mostly higher. It came just ahead of the official end of the longest U.S. government shutdown ever. President Trump signed the funding measure yesterday after it was passed by the House. The shutdown ending measure extends funding until January 30th. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 327 points, S&P 500 was up 4, and the NASDAQ fell 62 points.
The U.S. Mint struck its final penny on Wednesday. President Trump previously announced plans to retire the coin, which dates back to 1793 in February, citing production costs as a primary reason. According to the Treasury Department, the penny will remain legal tender and retain its value indefinitely as there are approximately 300 billion pennies still in circulation, which exceeds the amount needed for commerce.
Toyota is building a $13.9 billion battery plant in North Carolina. The automaker announced the 1,850-acre facility will create up to 5,100 jobs. It's the company's first battery plant outside of Japan. Toyota also announced it will be investing $10 billion in the U.S. over the next 5 years. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy welcomed the announcement, citing President Trump's economic policies.
A new report suggests a young homebuyer crisis has hit the U.S. According to the National Association of Realtors, the typical age of first-time buyers climbed to an all-time high of 40 years.
Wow.
The report also says the number of first-time home buyers dropped to a record low of 21% in 2025. On top of that, a Coldwell Banker report says 84% of Gen Z say they're putting off major life milestones like getting married and having children just to afford to buy a home. Skyrocketing home prices and high mortgage rates are to blame. The crisis has prompted the White House to propose a new 50-year mortgage.
Well, how many young people, too, that I've heard over the years, like, we're never going to be able to afford a home. We're just going to do experiences. And a lot of them in that, you know, younger demo, 25, 30s, that's what they're doing. They're just taking adventures, and they're continuing to rent because they don't think that owning a house is attainable.
No, and it's one of those things that, I mean, I was lucky enough to have a well-paying job, and I moved to North Dakota where that money went further based on the economy here and the cost of living compared to out west in California. But it is a major life decision to buy a house because, I mean, it is an expensive opportunity. And it does seem like our parents, when they were younger, it was easier for them to obtain a house. And I know what my parents had to pay. There was an accident. My dad got some insurance money that we were able to finish paying off the house back in the day. But it was a much smaller amount for them to own that home. Granted, it was location is everything. But it housing prices have risen. I mean, that's why I have equity in my home now, because I bought my house 18 plus years ago.
My first house was $60,000, and I thought that was just like a crazy amount of money. But imagine now your starter home's $250,000 up, and depending on where you're at, you're talking $400,000.
James has said that, especially living up here in the FM area, that, you know, just to get a starter home, it might be, like you said, $250,000, and maybe he has to do something to find something even cheaper outside of town and a fixer-upper. But still, it's a lot to try and get the down payment, et cetera. Because I know when I bought my house, I didn't have enough for a down payment. I basically had a second mortgage, and I had to do that until I built up enough equity and combine those and refinance into one mortgage. So, I mean, it takes time, but I mean, there's a lot of people feel like they can't afford it, and especially working 40 hours a week.
And I think now, is it 20% down that they want on houses? Does that sound
20%
right?
20% sort of sounds right, but was there ever a time it was 10%?
I don't know. I get where these kids are at. I mean, it's super expensive.
Well, I've got relatives that are firmly, when it comes to Christmases and the Christmas gift aspect, they are a type of family where they want more experiences than the toys or the other electronics or things like that you could buy your kids, because they're going to remember these experiences for a lot longer than they'll remember some puzzle or some toy they got when they were little.
Same for the kids. Might as well just continue to rent and take in experiences because we can't afford a house. So I get it. 802, we are WDAY Fargo. 804, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki calling for mostly sunny skies today. 55 for our high temp. South-southeast winds 5 to 10, 34 the overnight low. Warmer tomorrow, little breezy, but not bad. Sunshine with a high of 63. South winds 10 to 20, low of 40. Saturday, partly sunny, cooler, breezy. 20% chance we could see some showers. 44 for the high temp. Northwest winds 15 to 25, 25 degrees for our overnight low. Sunday, partly sunny, 42 for the high. Chance of rain Monday and Tuesday, and it looks like highs Monday through Wednesday in the 40s. Weather this hour has been brought to you by Ace Out Golf Simulators. Imagine turning your garage into a golf course, your man cave into movie night, and a game room. Well, Ace Out Golf Simulators makes it happen. You can play any golf course in the world year-round, all in your own space, locally owned and operated by Austin. Ace Out offers both custom installations, easy do-it-yourself setups that can transform any space into a year-round golf and entertainment experience. Also, you can rent their space at Ace Out Golf Simulators. Would you like to have a holiday party there?
get a hold of Austin. You have one of them. You can have one brought to your location, too. Great for work parties, groom's dinners, post-proms, or corporate events. Find out more at aceoutgolf.com. You can find them on Facebook or Instagram. Ace Out Golf Simulators. Improve your game. Improve your life. Congratulations, Chuck. Chuck has won a family four-pack of tickets to the Freedom Matters USA Charlie Kirk tribute event this Saturday. Fox News host Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla at the Holiday Inn. More opportunities yet today and tomorrow to win yourself a family four-pack. All you got to do is email us, studio@wdayradionow.com. 8:06, we are going to get your national news in from ABC, and then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 8:11, Big Game James McCarty, all lotioned up, getting ready for your WDAY Radio Sports. Your hands a little dry. Mine are too. I've got my first finger split.
We're getting into the winter months. I just have to make sure I'm being proactive so I don't start cracking and bleeding on the knuckles and whatnot. And
I've been the same way in the morning. It's just like, ow, and that finger splits hurt, man.
Well, I mean, the moisture gets drawn out of the air very quickly once we start to cool off.
It does. I mean, I told Bonnie earlier today that I walk over there to grab something over by her, and I got the headphones on. My right ear, there's enough static, I'm getting shocked in my right ear as I'm walking back and forth.
Yeah, probably for the next 4 months, whenever I go to touch the door handle in the office, I get a jolt. And that's just
how
it works.
It always catches you off guard, too, which is always funny.
Well, because I'm preoccupied. I'm working. Not all of us are, you know, sending TikToks all morning.
Hey, well, somebody's got to do that.
Yeah.
EDC volleyball matches tonight. You're going to have a couple of loser out matches. Shanley hosting Red River, North hosting South, and then in the winner's bracket, you're guaranteed two more matches. You have West Fargo Cheyenne hosting West Fargo Horace, and then you're also going to have tonight Fargo Davies battling West Fargo High. We're looking forward to that match. That's over right here, actually, on WDAY Radio. So should be a fun match tonight. All four of those matches will start at 6 o'clock. Will be the first serve, and we'll get you updates on all those other matches that we're not at in person this evening. Class A Region 1 Championship, top-seeded Oak Grove battles 3-seed Central Cass tonight. That'll be a 7 p.m. first serve for that matchup. College Hoops on Wednesday night was in men's basketball. North Dakota State rolling St. Scholastica, 111-38. Minnesota falling to Missouri, 83-60. VCSU taking down Dakota Wesleyan, 88-84, and Concordia Moorhead edging out Minnesota Morris, 79-74. Women's basketball, just one matchup last night. Concordia dominated Minnesota Morris, 85-56. The rest of the week here on our family of stations tonight, as I had mentioned, EDC volleyball semifinals tonight. Fargo Davies battles West Fargo High at 6 o'clock here on WDAY Radio. Friday night, you're going to have at 6:30 primetime sports with Jason and I being joined by Kevin Marshall, host of FCS Nation, for a weekly look around the subdivision of college football as we get closer to playoff time. Then at 7 o'clock, it is a half-hour pregame show for the 6A Division of Minnesota State semifinals football bout between Moorhead and Lakeville South. Steve Hallstrom will have that pregame beginning at 7. Then at 7:30, the kickoff with Moorhead and South, or Lakeville South. Larry Knutson will have the call for you on that one, and then a half-hour postgame after that one goes final. Cobber football will wrap up their 2025 campaign at noon on Saturday at Carlton. On our sister station, the Flag coverage the rest of the week, we have Dakota Bowl 3A football with Fargo Davies battling Bismarck Century Friday night at 6:30, and then on Saturday, Minnesota State Moorhead at Minnesota State Mankato, 11 a.m. pregame, a noon kickoff for that one between the Dragons and the Mavericks. As well, if you're looking for a half hour to be filled on your day, on your week, you're looking forward to that Cobber matchup, that Spud matchup this week, well, listen to our Third Drop Coffee Coach's Corner podcast. Our very own Greg Bird joined with Cobber football head coach Terry Rand, Spud football head coach Kevin Feeney. That podcast up on the website, WDAYRadioNow.com, underneath the podcast tab. Thank you to our sponsors, Third Drop Coffee and Moorhead, Cambridge Foss Concrete, and Brady Service Center for making that possible. A great podcast this week previewing those two matchups and, of course, the excitement of another opportunity to try and continue your season on for an additional week if you're the Spuds in that state semifinals, trying to punch their ticket to the Prep Bowl for the first time in close to four decades.
Say like 1987.
Yep, because they won the state championship in 2020, but that was a media vote once the section tournaments were winding down. They had ended up canceling or putting on hiatus and canceling through football season due to some health concerns. And the Spuds were voted state champs, but they never even made it to the state tournament, let alone to the Prep Bowl, as Minnesota calls it. in the state championships that will take place a week from now.
All right. Coyote problem down in the Breckenridge area.
Wilkin County
Sheriff's Office put out a press release informing the public of recent coyote sightings in Breckenridge, particularly near Boitesu Golf Course. Apparently, normally a coyote's skittish, right? And they should be. They see people and they run off. But apparently they have approached both humans and pets, according to the sheriff's office.
Do they suspect that these might be either coyotes that are rabid or something, or just becoming aggressive because of food shortages?
They haven't said why, but they are working with the DNR, Breckenridge Police, Wilkin County Sheriff's Office, and landowners to address these incidents to ensure public safety.
That means
we're going to be hunting coyotes down there.
How many... Are they able to give a number of how many, or are they seeing one in multiple places?
It's pretty tough. I mean, if you see one, there's always more.
Yeah.
It very seldom with a coyote will you see one. It's, you know, like when you see bobcats or lynx or things of those sorts, you know, cats tend to be more isolated
lone
rangers. With coyotes, turns into three, turns into five, turns into 10, unfortunately.
Well, I could believe that, but it seems like around kind of these metro areas, it seems as though what we're seeing, at least up in the FM area, has been kind of one-offs. We've seen a moose. Mm-hmm. We've seen a coyote.
Yeah.
We've seen a cougar or something around here. So it's been kind of one-offs. That's why I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, periodically they'll veer out. But Breckenridge is rural enough to where you're, in my opinion, I wouldn't suspect that it's a one-off.
Okay.
We've had coyotes here probably 20 years for sure. I know officers that would work the night shift would always see coyotes, you know, kind of in this area where we are. But, you know, with development, it might have pushed them off further. But, we've had them around here. But it's not normal behavior for a coyote to be approaching people. Maybe it's hungry and going for the pets, but people too.
Maybe. Yeah, that's kind of the concerning part, I believe, just because, you assume that a lot of these wild animals, they see people and they're skittish and they'll not get too close. But I mean, if they start approaching people and your pets, either you're getting really, really hungry or something else is going on, but you got to keep an eye out for something like that, especially you just can't predict what a wild animal is going to do.
Yep. So authorities are on top of it, just want to make sure that the public is aware of recent coyote sightings in Breckenridge, especially near Boitesu Golf Course. They're working with DNR, Breckenridge Police, Wilkin County Sheriff's Office, and farmers down there, landowners down there to probably cull the coyotes. Don't say that exactly, but I'm reading between the lines here. Yeah. They're working with landowners.
Well, I don't know what else you would do, especially with those ones around Breckenridge. Then, if they're causing problems with the community down there,
you got to take them out.
You're going to have to do something. I mean,
you need to dispatch them.
Yeah. Well, even if you think about the reason why we have hunting seasons for deer and pheasants and geese, obviously it's number one, you can eat them. But at the same time, you're trying to control the population as well. That's why there's only certain times you have for these hunting seasons, because you can't just do it all the times. But you're going to have to do something, especially like if they're starting to intrude on public space. You know, I mean, you got to protect the people first and foremost.
On the medical front, this one kind of a little disturbing. And this one involves metformin, which a lot of people who are diabetic are on metformin.
Mm-hmm.
There is a study that's coming out in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism that finds people who are walking, normally, right, walking is great for you, right?
Yeah,
great
absolutely.
Exercise. But it says metformin appears to blunt improvements in blood pressure, fitness, and blood sugar control that normally comes from regular exercise.
Is that will that be a long-term effect or just while you're taking the metformin?
Well, I think once you start taking it, that's usually long term. I mean, it could be if you lose a lot of weight. I suppose they could take you off of it.
Some people just stop taking it. Just saying.
They say that. Well, that's true too. Mm-hmm. I know people who have been, prescribed it, and they don't. It complicates current guidelines that advise patients with high blood sugar to take metformin while engaging in exercise, according to the researchers.
Yeah.
Two proven theories should deliver better results when combined. Most healthcare providers assume that 1 + 1 = 2. The problem is most evidence shows metformin blunts exercise benefits, according to the lead researcher. He's a professor of kinesiology and health at Rutgers University. So that's
how disappointing is that? Because metformin was supposed to, That's the one that regulates blood sugar, right?
Right.
It's not an appetite suppressant or anything like that, but it's supposed to help regulate that. So maybe it helps with some cravings or something. But you want someone who is on metformin and other things to then be able to increase their exercise activity.
Maybe lose some weight.
But if that specific drug is not going to allow that extra exercise to provide any benefit, well, then you got to question whether or not it's worth it to take metformin.
Yeah, and don't stop taking it or anything. They're looking further into it. Mm-hmm. They say they need to figure out how to best recommend exercise with metformin. They need to consider how other medications interact with exercise to develop better guidelines for doctors to help people lower their chronic disease risk. Johns Hopkins Medicine has more about metformin, more information that you can check out. But the study here, it involved 72 people. So for me looking at it, I mean, even though it's a definitely a clinical study, legitimate clinical study, they looked at 72 people at risk for metabolic syndrome when they did this study here, and that's what they decided. They discovered, they broke them into four different groups. People performed either high-intensity or low-intensity exercises while either taking metformin or a placebo. Results showed that exercise alone improve blood vessel sensitivity to insulin, but if they were on metformin, it seemed to stem anything. Yeah,
I mean, I would like to see a study that's got more individuals in it with a wide variety.
And maybe that's the next step.
Ages, etc. But at the same time, you know, this is a clinical study, and people were, you know, they had placebos, they had test subjects that were the norm or the base or whatever, I forget the term. But then you had others that were on metformin and you're doing high intensity, low intensity. You would like to think that someone that needs to use metformin would be able to use it and do just some, you know, like low intensity workouts.
Like walk.
Just go for walks, et cetera, and have the best results possible. But, you know, you see someone that's on it and nothing happens and you're just like, well, what's the point of taking this if the patient is not seeing any results?
Yeah, interesting. So just stay tuned for more on that. Also, a lot of us in this part of the country do take vitamin D because of, you know, winter and sunlight,
well,
right?
Well, number one, that is true. I think I was taking it because it's supposed to help with your immune system.
It's supposed to help with a lot of stuff. I take it.
And I've been taking it for a long time, even before the heart attack. And now it's one of the things that I believe, I don't think it was something said, well, I was taking this before, I want to keep taking it. I think the cardiologists, et cetera, recommended me taking that as well. So it's part of my daily medicines that I take every morning. So
vitamin D helps people with heart disease avoid a heart attack if it's provided in a dose tailored to you by your doctor. This is according to a new study.
Yep.
People provided vitamin D reduced their risk of a heart attack by more than half. Mm-hmm. And researchers reported this news at the American Heart Association's annual meeting in New Orleans over the weekend. So that's pretty impressive right there. If you're not taking vitamin D, maybe have a talk with your doctor.
Well,
they recommend it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know that my cardiologist recommended it because, like I said, that's one thing they had me take in addition to the old little baby aspirin, to take that every day
as
well.
And that's maybe for some, maybe for not anymore. You know, so yeah, that's why you have your doctor and keep in contact with them and listen to them. They do know best.
Well, and every time I go down to the cities, I mean, I also spend time talking with the pharmacist as well. He comes in and talks to me every time about what I'm taking, any kind of side effects, things like that going on, and make sure that I'm, you know, square with him, is taking everything and there's no reactions, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. But this was a bigger study, too. And like I said, they announced it at the big convention there.
Yeah, so I mean, that's impressive. I totally agree with it because, like I said, I knew that I was prescribed that all the way back in December. So
It is 8:24. We are going to head to the American Ag Network. Then Janae and Ronnie slide in. We find out what they have planned on today's show. Cha-cha-cha. Cha-cha-cha.
Thank you.
Yeah, birthday girl. Birthday month. Is today any more special than the rest of the month? Or
we're only doing birthday today.
Oh, you've been told.
Well, I got a pretty nice present.
I'd say you got a pretty big birthday present.
Yeah, I guess. Wow.
That's like a lifetime of birthdays.
I feel like a Price is Right contestant. A new car! Yeah.
Was this a surprise or you knew about it?
No, I knew. You've been and I wanted it. I wanted that for a while.
Good for you. Happy mm-hmm. birthday.
Thank you.
That's a very nice present.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Are we celebrating the birthday all day today on the show then?
Since Why
it's not,
not?
Birthday month?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I didn't do any prepping for that.
You were a little busy but, making a deal on a vehicle yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
cue up the Beatles. You say it's your birthday.
What are you doing on the show today?
Well, it's Thursday, so Mark Johnson's going to be in today. We'll play Name That Tune. There's music at Sweet Shots tonight. It's actually going to be Micah Gallagher there tonight.
Oh.
Winner of yes. Acoustic Fest.
Yes.
Super talented guy. But he can't come on the show today, so Mark is going to be in here, which means we play...
Mark is still fun.
Name That Tune. Mm-hmm. Mark is a blast. Mm-hmm. I love him so much. Mm-hmm. And then we are going to be speaking with Love Your Locals as well today. They have a expo, I believe, next weekend.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be doing that. And then, you know, all the fun stuff that we do as well.
Ronnie gets to do weather today. Wysocki bailed on us.
Oh,
is he sick?
I was not aware of that. Again. Okay. Yeah.
Now you know, Ronnie. So congratulations. You've been promoted.
Yeah.
The sky is really pretty right now. It actually looks like a prism with all the clouds and the sun is kind of blocked and you can see.
It does. It is pretty.
I wonder if that's still... like effects left over from the northern Awfully lights, bright. Like you could, because you can see pink and blue and green.
Have you seen some of the scientific the pictures from the ISS?
No, like I did not.
International Space Station looks when they were at their peak over the northern United States looked kind of pretty cool.
Ooh, I'll have to check that out. I saw some from Alaska and Arizona.
I saw those too.
I don't know if you two saw this story yet. I sent this story out when I saw it the other day. But so next Tuesday, we are expecting a peak geostorm, I guess.
Okay.
It's a little bit similar to what causes northern lights, energy from the sun, all that stuff, but
Is this like shooting stars or falling stars or whatever you want to call them?
It's energy coming this way, but it's a storm that can affect things like electrical grids, electronics, all that stuff.
Oh. Maybe affect the wildlife,
et cetera. They say it's supposed to be pretty bad next Tuesday. They were talking about potential in some states to the electric grid.
Is there anything we need to do to prepare for this?
Yeah.
Stock up battery. On beans.
Oh. Beans?
Yes. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to go hungry.
Yes.
You going to eat beans, though?
Cold. Make sure you have a can opener, too.
Grab yourself an MRE and
make sure you're not around Bonnie after she eats a can of beans.
I have an MRE. They're not very good.
No, they're not. But you know what? They'll sustain you.
I had the old school ones, Ronnie.
Who just did that, Ronnie?
Ronnie, I had the old school ones when we were in college because we were trying to save money when we lived together. So we just had a bunch of extra ones.
Well, they are the musical fruit.
Yeah.
Well,
you don't need to go to the bathroom after eating those because body's going to process about 99% of it.
There you go. TMI.
Yeah, dessert were good, kind of.
Where's that? Kind of. All right, stay tuned for the coffee club, Jace. Let's get out of here.
All right, you betcha.
Bonnie and friends, we will be back tomorrow morning, 5 a.m. Have yourselves a great day.